listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Because I take the L to jail with the real world. Got on the 87, sat by this little girl. She recited raps. I forgot where they was from in them. She was saying how she make brothers come. I started thinking, how many souls hip-hop has affected? How many dead folks this art resurrected? How many nations this culture connected? Who am I to judge one's perspective? Some of this shit y'all pop true. I ain't relating. If I don't like it, I don't like it. That don't mean that I'm hating. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Monday.
Yes sir,
that's right, Monday afternoon, the Blackout Tips. You guys know how it is. Some of y'all will be hearing this Tuesday because you guys listen later, but if you're live, then you're chilling on a Monday night with us. Okay,
yes you are.
Before Love and Hip Hop comes on, and
then Hollywood.
Yeah, we in Hollywood now. Shout out to my girl Keisha Cole, who finally on there now.
Oh shit.
Yep. Looking out. Of course, you guys, if you're listening to this, you guys should already know, but you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search The Blackout Tips. Go to our website, theblackouttips.com. You can become a premium member, theblackouttips.com/premium. There's all kinds of shows on there for you to listen to. The official weapon of the show is an unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And we are sponsored today. We're brought to you by one of our no offense to the other sponsors, but one of our sexier sponsors, adamandeve.com. It's trying to help you get your cake chopping your cake chopping routine going on, okay? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. All right. Let me see if I can find some music to go with this. How about this? Adam and Eve is determined to help you spice things up in the bedroom. And I'm not just talking no Texas Pete, I'm talking about that Tapatio, okay?
Oh Lord.
They're backing up that promise. So check this out. Go to adamandeve.com. You can get 50% off of just about any item when you enter offer code TBGWT at checkout. After you do that, you're just like, oh, that's all? I'm good. Half off of an item? Thank you, Ryder Karen. Well, that's not enough. After you do that, they will also give you the big O kit. It's straight up free. And it includes their exclusive Climax gel and a mini vibrator. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to be vibrating to the big O. That's why they call it that. And also, you can get your entire order for free, sent to you, mailed in the mail for free. All you got to do this, put in TBGWT in the offer code when it's time to check out. Seems like a fairly simple plan to me. You go to adamandeve.com, you pick out one item. It could be anything. It could be a new toy. It could be a naughty movie or anything else, really. Lingerie. They sell everything there.
Yes,
condoms in bulk. School's coming back. So yeah, man, make sure you guys do that. Put in code TBGWT. Get that for 50% off. Get your free big O kit and get your free shipping. Come on now. Encouraging y'all to take care of yourselves. Buy your condoms in bulk. All right? For half off.
You don't ever know when you're gonna be ready.
Yeah, it is known when it comes to that we're blessed. But understand that your mind might be the strongest yet. We have invented many things. What could this world be without the work of people that look just like you and me? Stretch your wings, little man. Show how fly you are. Stretch your wings.
All right, and that's Eric Robertson, and the song is Superman, because I know niggas gonna be asking me on Twitter tomorrow.
That's nice.
All right, guys, let's get into all the segments in the news. There's all kinds of news to cover. Of course, there's all kinds of segments that we do here at the Blackout Tips. Some popular and legendary, some rarely come around anymore. It just kind of depends on what's going on with the day. Today, we do have a familiar segment that we haven't done in a few days.
Yeah.
There's something I wanna ask you. There's something that I wanna know. And to this question, you have the answer. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me? And now for all the horrible news that's happening out here in this world. Okay, guys, sorry. It's not a very fun segment all the time. Hopefully we have some good news today, though. Let's see. Well, this isn't good news. The Department of Justice files an amicus brief restricting LGBTQ Title VII protection, which is essentially saying you can be filed for your sexual identity or sexual orientation that was protected. When did that pass? I want to say that was recent. Did that pass that you couldn't just for federal jobs, you couldn't just fire somebody because of their sexual orientation, right, or gender orientation? And of course, President Obama, Joe Biden were advocates and allies to the LGBTQ community in the time that they did occupy the White House. Doesn't necessarily mean they had enough impact on the entire country to get everything done and mm-hmm. and all that other stuff. You know, I'm not trying to belittle that work or anything. I really do think, you know, especially looking at now, it's like those were the times and everything. But apparently they're basically arguing that sex-based discrimination is, you know, like because somebody's a woman or a man and you discriminate against them, that is still discrimination.
Yes, it is.
But if somebody is, say, trans, if somebody is gay and you decide to fire them for that or retaliate against them, that's not discrimination. So in other words, under the Department of Justice conception of the Title VII, should a company discriminate equally between gay men and lesbian women, the company is acting lawfully and in accordance with civil rights legislation. Dismissing identity preferences, the DOJ repeatedly refers to LGBTQ people as homosexuals throughout the filing, collapsing the diverse identities into homosexuality. Response from legal minds came swiftly. Some people reacted on Twitter echoing similar sentiments. Do you know what the message is here? Is another notch, because the thing is, private employers weren't necessarily held to this anyway.
Mm-mm.
And so for the good and the bad, some people had higher standards than required by law, some had lower. Well, I guess not lower than law, but still they had low standards.
Yeah, bare minimal.
Yeah, they could straight up discriminate and they didn't give a fuck. But in this case, it's just kind of disheartening because this came out the same day as the ban on transgender people in the military, and it does send that message, you know, which is the overall message of all this shit, is this othering and this, your life doesn't matter and you're less than a human being. Yeah, just go away. That's the whole point. Like, right. Everybody gets caught up on the semantics of the other shit. The point is this huge, you know, we're going to make you feel like you don't matter and you don't belong, and that's all people care about. Transgender soldiers fear life setback after Trump's tweet. This is another design of the Trump administration. This is not by happenstance. I may have said it on the show yesterday, but I definitely thought about it after the show went off. But it's no coincidence that Breakfast Club conversation about Janet Mock, and then this, it goes into this trans panic murder jokes, whatever you want to call it. It's no coincidence that those two, that conversation about the military ban sparked into this, you know, extremely transphobic conversation. You know, it's all by design, you know, and you have a lot of people that would, if you set them down, they would tell you, I'm against Trump, I'm against bigotry, I support this, that, and the other. But when it comes down to it, they're sitting there on the side of Trump. They're sitting there agreeing with him. They're sitting there supporting his same stances.
It's not about what you say, it's about what you support.
Right. Or even worse, some of them are just talking a good game because it's Trump saying the shit. So it's like, I'm against everything Trump says, but in principle, they agree. And they got, that's how you get quote unquote tricked into opening up. Cause I don't think they were, by tricked, I don't mean that they, were like, oh, I don't really mean that. No, no, no. They let their guard down for a second cause they really do believe a lot of this transphobia shit out here. But they don't say that shit cause they just know it's a third rail. I might say something wrong. I don't know enough, blah, blah, blah. So instead you end up talking about this tangential topic and then you unleash your same transphobia. You know, I don't listen to the Breakfast Club in all fairness and all disclosure. I don't even really feel comfortable promoting their boycott because it's weird because I never promote them niggas any other time. I don't know that I'm the demo that would help with that or not. I've retweeted a few things and said a few things. And maybe they will get, maybe something will happen to that show. I guess I highly doubt it. You know, we'll see, you know. But one of the things that about that conversation though that I took away from it was just these niggas would all walk around and think they better people than Trump and his cohorts.
Come on.
They would all think they're better to people than these people, but they're not. You know, like you essentially had in this area, you're not better. You have the same fucking things. It's that thing where a lot of black people would be Republicans if it wasn't for them being racist against us.
Yes, they would, 100%. A lot of people sitting up in church, they would, if the Republicans weren't racist, it would be so many niggas that would pull that lever, because they don't care about other black people. They think brown people deserve what they get. They think they're an exception to the rule. Colorism boils in there. You have a lot of white and black people, their whole goal is to be white and just be accepted in the whiteness. A lot of them have been raised up and they've always been the other, or the special Negro, or the special snowflakes, and they raised their children to be like this, in my personal opinion. And if it wasn't for that racist shit, they would pull that goddamn level. You can't tell me nothing different, because you know the same thing these Republicans stand by y'all do too. You're homophobic, you're transphobic, you're xenophobic, you all them whatever phobia, and cousin and friend and extended family, you feel the same way too. But because they blatantly smack you upside the head and go, we hate you too, nigga. You say, well, I guess I'll be over here with the other niggas because y'all don't want me. But if they welcomed y'all with open arms, a lot of niggas would be over there too.
Right. Not even dropping everything. Just the, you know, specific, your, you know, racism against black people. They would be like, oh, yeah, no, no. I am for your homophobia, your bigotry, your Islamophobia, your you know, the deportation of undocumented people. I'm for all this shit. I'm for everything you say, except y'all don't fuck with me either, you know. And that's how those conversations feel to me, where it's like, oh, it's a single degree of separation with a lot of people. And in the wake of that fallout, you've seen a lot of people defending it. But back to this story, like I said, it's all connected to me. Like, that military ban is supposed to elicit and stoke the transphobia in a lot of people. And it works. I watch people get, you know, emboldened. I watch people that think the Trump brand and his administration, I watch people that think it's despicable become emboldened. It's odd to see it from black people. Not that it's impossible. I'm not saying I'm shocked. I'm not saying I'm surprised. It's still odd to the way I view life. It's odd to watch those connections happen and watch as people that don't really see it for themselves. Like, nobody that is being inspired by this shit would then turn around and be like, cause that Trump got it right on this one.
Right.
Most of them would not say that. Most of them would be like, no, fuck Trump, he's wrong. But in the same breath be like, but any transgender per trick, I'll fucking kill her ass. They'll be the same people to say that shit. but you claim that you don't fuck with him or them and they wrong and everything they do is bad, but somehow you end up on that side of, you know, the bathroom ban is silly, it's stupid, da da da, but yet that trans panic defense is the same inspiration that people use in the bathroom stuff. Oh, they gonna come in there and prey on us. That's the thing. Like, these transgender women, they're predators. They out here getting these men. Anyway, Captain Jennifer Sims, who was once known as Jonathan Sims, read her president's tweets in horror last week when he imposed a blanket ban. She said, "I read the tweets while I was at work, and you know it was devastating because I still have to work. I still have work to do, and here I am reading basically what sounded like my president of the United States, who is the commander in chief. He is ultimate boss of the military, telling me and anybody else that it is transgender that we are fired." Yeah, it's another thing that happens when you don't run things through the chain of command. Nobody knew what the fuck Trump was doing. You got an entire fucking military. And I said this shit on the day that it happened, on my Twitter, on my Facebook page, because I think we were off the air that day. But I was like, what message does it send for the people that are transgender that already are in the military? Because everybody's looking at it like, oh, people won't be able to join. But how the fuck do I safely navigate the space I'm already in? Because are you firing me? Am I out? I'm no longer getting a check. I'm no longer
Taking my livelihood.
Right. And transgender people in this country are extremely are on the edges of society when it comes to money, when it comes to resources, when it comes to shelter. So you're taking away a job that offers those things.
No,
you know?
Not only that, for a lot of marginalized people and a lot of brown people, truth be told, military is a way of escape for life for a lot of people, and military is a way to make money when for a lot of people there's no other means to make money. A military brings a lot of brown people out of poverty, brings a lot of LGBTQ people out of poverty. Get health care.
Well, you know what's funny, like people don't want to hear that shit, because if you're so anti-military, it's like, well, it's almost like you can trick yourself into thinking this is good. You know what I mean? Like, oh, good. But I'm like, no, that's how they get you.
Right.
Is you sit around here and go, well, my ultimate goal is fuck the military. So, hey, y'all shouldn't be in the military anyway. And it's like, okay, I hear you, dog. But what does this send? What message is it sending to society? Is it sending the message that we need to protect trans people and provide for them? No, it's sending the exact opposite message. And you're sitting around touting that shit, you know, the same way that saying that trans people should not be discriminated against, whether it's the military or even the fucking police force. I'm still not saying because I'm okay with the military and the police force and that everything they do is good now. No, it doesn't make it okay or better or whatever. But I can still say I know the message you're trying to send with this ban. Because we're not talking about, even if you thought, well, this is hurting the military, so that's good. We're not talking about a lot of jobs. So we're not talking about actual hurt to the military, and the money that they were using to support those people, they're gonna just use it towards more shit anyway.
Right.
Not to mention, this administration will definitely ask for more money for the military budget. They're not gonna cut that budget. So it's just about the messaging. That's it. You know, at least it seems that simple to me, you know? But yeah, I think about the people that are in there, and I'm like, that is a signal to your older soldiers that your life doesn't matter and they can do whatever they want to you. Period. You know, we also know transgender people are targeted for sexual assault more often. You know, in a institution where the military is full of sexual assault.
Full of it, dog. Full of it. We've read articles. We've read stories. They've done studies. They've done statistics. Full of it. And it's one of the things where there's no organization that's perfect, but it's one of the things where they're willing to fight for this country. Something that the average person is not willing to do. If they are willing to do it, allow them to. Salute them for being willing to do it. I do not love this country that goddamn much. I have personal issues with this country. I'm like, nah, fuck you. I'm good. I'm not taking a bullet for you.
Yeah. It can be a vehicle, whether it's out of poverty or just literally to survive sometimes.
Right.
Like, it sucks that's life, but that's what life is right now. We can worry about where life is or where the idealistic, where it could be, and it ain't there yet. Meanwhile, millions of people got to die for us to have that ideal that's supposed to be there. You know what I mean? Like, what in the time that we have arguing over what the perfect solution will be, we have this makeshift shit for people to just get by every day. And one of those things that people, you know, like I said, military is not like a other, like a lot of other jobs. Mm-mm. They will put a roof over your head in a situation where you normally wouldn't even have a roof. They will give medical care in a situation where you normally wouldn't get medical care. They will provide you know, a means for you to go to college and educate yourself. These things, being through the military and the government, sure, it sucks. But my father was in the Air Force. You know what I mean? For just long enough to get his GI Bill or whatever, or just to get his college education and provide for his family for the rest of his life. It's a way out. You know what I mean? It's that or it's dirt floors. You know, like, it wasn't like, oh, I had 17,000 choices. And trans people are facing these same choices. And literally, I mean, even if we were to have a war, the odds of dying on the streets as a trans person of color are probably higher.
Right.
So it's not even like it's almost like no choice until society steps up and does better. So yeah, that ban made me think about the people that were in there, and this article was talking about it.
Right, because I'm like you. I have family that is currently in the military. I have family that is active. I have family that is on reserves. I have family that retired from the military. I have family that was really, really, really high ranking in the military. So I have connections to, you know, the military, deep connections with my family. And my thing is, like I said before, these people that are protesting and these people that are like, hey, we want y'all at the military, none of y'all are willing to take a bullet either.
It don't matter if you're willing to take a bullet or not, though, because I'm not talking about the willingness to fight. I'm talking about having to survive.
Correct.
That's the difference. There's a lot of people that get, you know how many motherfuckers sign up for the military that never intend on firing or getting shot? A lot of people. They like, that's how dire it is for people in bad situations in this country. You're not sitting around like, because I can't wait to kill a motherfucker. What you sitting around is thinking, I can't wait to have 3 hot meals. You know what I mean? Like, if the choice was literally if we had a situation in America where everyone who signed up to join the military was really just in there because they were like, I want to go occupy other countries and kill brown people all over the globe, I would actually be like, yep, I feel you. That those people, that's trash. That's fucked up. You make that decision, then I can't support you. Some of this shit is like, man, I was living in my car. I didn't know what I was going to do. You know, my parents told me, get the fuck out of the house. You need a job, or join the military, but you can't stay here. You know, oh, I was leaving an abusive situation. You know, from the time I was 13 or 14, I'm living on the streets. This is one of the only places that would take me and provide. It's that kind of shit that we're asking for people to just, you know. Anyway, it's complex, and like I said, people find a home here and in a place where you don't have a lot of homes in America.
Correct.
So yeah, I'm not surprised that it left a lot of confusion.
Right, because something that he goddamn does, it irritates the shit out of me. A lot of his shit is just, it's not organized, not planned. You put shit out, you don't run it through chain of commands, you know, and so nobody knows how to act, nobody knows how to respond, nobody knows how to implement, nobody knows what to do, and it's every time something comes out, it's fucking chaos. Just like with the ban before, you had all these people showing up at the airport, and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with everybody? It's fucking unorganized. Well, everything you do is unorganized.
In this case, like I said, it's about the sentiment. Right. I don't even think he cares that much about the executability of his plans. Because if he did, he'd run it by people.
Right.
But it's about the appearance of leadership. He's the opposite of Obama, who was a constitutional lawyer. So he was a strict, Republicans say they're constitutionalists. They're not. They're just bigots. But he was a constitutionalist, as in, like, I'm a scholar. I know the Constitution. I know how government works. Barack Obama was that. And that's why a lot of his shit that people complained about, because he didn't just decree from on high and grandstand. He was like, no,
oh,
I have to work with this many people to get this many votes, to get this to cross both aisles in order for us to have a standing, unbreakable compromise,
right?
We have to have everybody agree, and nobody liked that because everybody can, you know, on Twitter I don't have to compromise shit, on Facebook I don't have to compromise shit, when I'm talking to my friends I don't have to compromise shit. I can just say this is how everything should be, we all agree, we nod our heads and we walk the fuck away. But that's how Trump does operate. Now sure, his shit doesn't always get passed, it's not feasible, but the point is it engenders a certain level of hostility.
Yes it does.
That is the point. That is the shit that just keeps being missed in all these conversations, because it comes about, well, is it possible, can he kick him out, can he do this? What he has done is sent a big ass alley-oop to a lot of bigots, like, hey guys, you have an ally in the White House, the right. things that you've been thinking, I think those things, yeah. I tweet those things, no one can make me stop. And if somebody, and if something happens where they're like, well, Mr. Trump, President Trump, you can't do that, he goes, oh, fake news, or the liberal media, or something. Like, it's always somebody's fault, but the point being, I'm with y'all. That's how I see it. So in the initial moments after the tweet, I saw myself forced into a state that was it I was in before I started transitioning, a state of depression, exhaustion and inability to enjoy things. Said Sims 28, who spoke on her own behalf and not on that of the army. On July 26th, Trump tweeted, after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow, and he left the world waiting for an hour for delivering the hammer blow. Transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive, overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. So, yeah. Like I said, it's gonna affect a lot more people, and I won't be surprised if people die, get hate crime, all kinds of shit behind this.
Yep, not gonna be punished, not gonna be persecuted, not gonna be bought up in the court of law.
Mm-hmm. Charlemagne, the god, apparently got interrupted by trans protesters. Sunday, during appearance at Politicon, Charlemagne the God was interrupted during his remarks by two women protesting for the trans community. The protests were sparked by the recent #BreakfastClub boycott that cropped up after the show found itself under fire for comments that Lil Duval made, suggesting that he would kill a trans woman if he were dating her and found out that she was transgender. You know, I think we heard the clip yesterday. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can put this on the screen, give me a second y'all. But yeah, so I mean, and this is the kind of thing where it's like, maybe this is bigger than other things he's done. I can never tell, to be honest.
Nope, because wherever the line is, it's constantly moved.
Yeah, and I don't really mess with him at all like that, so I don't know. Maybe y'all know why this one's catching on, or maybe this is like the other ones. In 2 or 3 days, something will happen and it'll be forgotten. I know people are already defending them and defending the whole crew and being like, they didn't say anything wrong. What did they do wrong? They were just there. It was really Lil Duval. So, you know, they've already done a show and said like, well, we can't make a grown man say whatever, da, da, da. And I mean, to a certain extent, they are right. You can't make a grown man say whatever. And, I know me personally, I laugh at shit when I'm shocked. Like, I mean, and sometimes the situation where it's really to my detriment, like, you know, somebody does something and I just start laughing because I'm like, holy shit.
That's so fucked up.
But that wasn't this in my opinion. Like, they were in on the joke. You know, Angela Yee to like a lesser extent, but they set up the alley-oop because they wanted him to say that shit. Like, you could just tell from the conversation. I just don't know how anybody can pretend that they weren't complicit. But that's what folks are doing right now. Anyway, this is the protest. It's only 15 seconds long, this video. All right. Well, you know what? Let's just vamp for a second, okay? But yeah, it's going to be interesting if people start bringing that shit to people's face.
Yeah, this is when you're in the studio, dog.
Right. You can sit on the studio and talk shit. I'm going to try to go directly to the YouTube page.
No problem.
You can sit in the studio and talk shit all the time, all day about people. But, yeah, and like you saw, they didn't do that shit to Janet Mock's face. they waited for her to leave, and they wanted to have that conversation without her involved, where they were talking about her, using her as a prop, essentially, to disrespect her. Oh wait, is it gonna play now? Hold on a second, guys. I think it's gonna play. But yeah, you saw they what they how exactly they played it. Like, at no point was it about
your music and your ideology reinforced the transphobia that killed us. Your beef, our
drugs. You can't really hear them because they're not on the mic and they're filming themselves.
No, trans people are not a joke. Trans people are not a joke. No, trans people are
Yeah, and it sounded like whoever was on the mic was kind of trying to overshout them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they basically were saying trans people are not a joke. We're mm-hmm. not a joke. Others shouted out that Charlamagne had allowed a comedian on the show to belittle the suffering of trans women. In response, Charlamagne explained to his audience at large that protesters were there for, and said that when Duvall had made the joke, he immediately responded by, "No, you can't do that. That's a hate crime." Yeah, you know what the other part of that is too? Hopefully it emboldens people to be a little more vocal about this kind of shit. You know, I know that's something that a lot of people don't see themselves as, because you don't want to spoil the party.
Right.
You don't want to invite someone on your show and then turn into the person that's like, hey, I know this is a comedy show, but let's get serious for a moment and no more jokes about this. You know, you don't want to be that person, but hopefully if we make the social cost of not saying shit as, you know, as to at least make people think, maybe people will do a better job. I know that's what had to happen with racial shit. You know, it had to happen with gay shit. Like, people would bring up like, yo, you said this and it's very fucking homophobic. And you know what? Stuff like that stopped happening on TV for a lot of stuff that used to slide don't slide no more.
Mm-mm.
People know the rules. So this is a way of getting the rules out there, I guess. And like I said, I don't know if anything happened to him or not, but maybe he'll think twice next time. Maybe that show will think twice. Maybe Angela Yee will step up and say something. Maybe DJ Envy will step up. I don't have a lot of hope. This is all with a grain of salt, because I don't really know if anything will change, but maybe. Janet Mock wrote a piece for Allure.com responding to The Breakfast Club using her as fodder for their jokes. She says, "I was not naive when I entered the Tribeca studio of The Breakfast Club, a hip-hop radio show that bills itself as the world's most dangerous morning show, hosted by Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, and DJ Envy on July 18th. I had watched previous interviews over the years and was familiar with their provocative and oftentimes problematic brand of talk. For instance, I remember their interview with trans dancer and online personality Sydney Starr in 2013, and I recall many times that they derogatorily used the term tranny with casual disdain. I witnessed the male host critique the bodies of black cis and trans women alike as if they were objects on display, open for dissection. Yet I was hopeful that I could use the show's vast platform to speak directly to their predominantly black and Latinx listeners, who are often excluded from the conversation held in mainstream LGBT spaces, which are largely white, moneyed, and concerned with the centering of cis folks. I hoped I can make listeners aware of the lived realities of their trans sisters and let them know that we deserve to be seen, heard, and acknowledged without the threat of harassment and exclusion and violence. My ultimate goal was to be accessible, to not judge, to call in rather than call out, and above all, to exercise patience as a straight cis male host, process my existence. It's rare that I do trans one-on-one lecturing anymore because I've already done that work. My first book, Redefining Realness, which was filled with plain speak and explanatory commas and definitions and statistics and context. In fact, I've turned down thousands from colleges and corporations because I refuse to engage in trans 101. Trans folks, especially of color, should not be obligated to help cis folks play catch up on our experiences. The effort can detract from our work to protect and liberate ourselves. Yet, I also know that black and Latina trans women often live in communities of color, so outreach to viewers of color from the Wendy Williams show in Essence to Desus and Mero was vital when I set out on my book tour. I was invited to the Breakfast Club because co-host Yee chose my second memoir, Surpassing Certainty, for her book club. It was my last scheduled media appearance after a long, grueling tour in support of Surpassing Certainty, which is about the years in my life I decided to keep my transness private, largely in order to gain access and to maintain my safety. These years coincided with my 20s when I navigated college, graduate school, and my early media career. The interview aired the radio stations across the country, edited and condensed, and in its entirety on YouTube a week later. Though I have not been able to watch the video of my interview, I have already experienced it and won't be doing so again. I'm proud of the labor I put forth, and I'm grateful to Yee for her preparation and effort to steer the conversation away from the particulars of my body and instead toward my work. The interview was what it was, and I refuse to re-experience being asked about my vagina in such a blatant, irrelevant, and sensational ways. Again, I am not fucking with you. If I'm not fucking you, why do you care?
Come on.
That's you know, that's the thing. Whenever I listen to the show, which I don't really, but you know, a clip goes viral or something, I always see Angela Yee is the only person that actually attempts to be good at the interview and shit. But people like the clowning and the braggadocio of the male co-host, particularly Charlamagne. That's the main attraction, is he'll ask anything. But it's like, that's the thing. How can you give somebody credit? Cause they'll get awkward. They don't give a fuck. They'll challenge a person. Yeah, if it's about a rap beef. But would you challenge somebody if they said something homophobic or transphobic or misogynistic? No. So then you're not really challenging shit. You know what I mean? There's no real awkward anything. Like, you agree with everything coming out their mouth. If somebody comes on there and says, a bunch of hotep shit, then they just gonna have a place to say it. You gonna laugh at anything else. Like, that's how it goes. It's just not a serious show. And to be honest, I just wish people treated it that way and then we wouldn't have to worry about it. But the problem is, enough people go on there that have shit to promote, and it's like, well, damn, if it's a serious platform, then it's gonna be held to serious standards. You can't have it both ways, where 4 million people tune into your shit and you also have the presidential candidates on there and shit, but at the same time I'm supposed to go, well, they're just being silly and having fun. Like, it's a business.
Yes, it is, 100%.
You know, it's a business. Like I said, I don't know if white shows are doing this or not. I don't listen to them, so if they are, then I guess everybody's doing it. But
right, that must be the formula.
Right, it just feels weird to me. Just when I thought the experience was behind me, I woke up to a text from a friend a few days later, just after Trump's attempt to ban trans folks from the military, asking if I was okay. I didn't know what she was referring to. I was afraid something had happened to a mutual friend. My heart skipped. When I checked Twitter and saw a video clip of the Breakfast Club interview with comedian Lil Duval, whose name I had never heard before. Well, join the club. In the clip, you know what's funny? Never heard a Lil Duval joke. I've never even heard, even people that claim to like him and be fans of him, never heard them quote his jokes. Mm-mm. Everybody else that's a comedian that people fuck with, they got a joke or two that they a phrase or a saying or something. Never heard anybody repeat his material. It's as if the only time people bring him up is to say, I just like that he's offensive and don't give a fuck. But I'm like, is that really funny? Is that making him a comedian? Or are you just keeping him around because you want to be like, oh, I want to laud his ignorance?
Right.
Like, isn't ignorance good? It's like, I feel you on trying to say is ignorance good. Ignorance can be funny as fuck.
Yes, it can.
To be honest. But he is a professional comedian. What's the comedy?
Yeah, what's the punchline?
Like, what's the comedy to it? You know? But people have various low bars and shit. So in the clip, an extended version can be seen here on TMZ. DJ Envy poses a hypothetical question to his guest about dating and sleeping with a woman who discloses that she's trans after 4 months of courtship. This might sound messed up, and I don't care. Duval says, she dying, I can't deal with that. That's a hate crime, Charlamagne says. You can't do that. You manipulated me to believe in this thing, Duval says, before continuing. If one did that to me and they didn't tell me, I'm gonna be so mad I'm probably going to want to kill them. Then DJ Envy holds up my book, Surpassing Certainty. The cover image is a close-up portrait of my face. Envy says, this is Janet Mock right here. All right, put that damn book down, Duval demands. Tell me she ain't pretty. Come on now. She's beautiful. Yay. Ye echoes. Nope. That nigga doing his thing ain't fitting to get me. The host laughed after using my image as a literal prop. Just days after I was a guest on the same show for lash, vitriol, and a deeper call of justification for violence. Just so we are clear, on a black program that often advocates for the safety and lives of black people, its host laughed at their guests advocating for the murder of a trans woman who are black people too. This was not the first time that I've been misgendered, dismissed, told that I'm an abomination, that I need medical help and God, etc., etc. Boo boo, you are not original. Everything you spewed has been said to me and my sisters before hundreds of times, but there are deeper consequences to this casual ignorance. Is this deplorable rhetoric that leaves many cis men desperately clutching to their heterosexuality to yell at, kick, spit on, shoot, burn, stone, and kill trans women of color? It's something I've written about extensively and even explored in my conversation with actress Amia Scott, who lost her sister Chyna Gibson when she was shot to death in New Orleans in February. Chyna was the fifth trans woman killed in 2017. There have been at least 15 reported deaths of trans women of color so far this year, according to GLAAD. Until cis people, especially heteronormative men, are able to interrogate their own toxic masculinity and realize their own gender performance is literally killing trans women, cis men will continue to persecute trans women and blame them for their own deaths. If you think trans women should disclose and be honest, then why don't you work on making the damn world safe for us to exist in the first place? The "I'd kill a woman if I found out" rhetoric is precisely why so many women hold themselves so tight. The stigma and the shame attached to our desires need to be abolished. Yeah, that's what I don't understand, because niggas love being like, just tell me up front, but at the same time being like, bitch, I'll kill you. Like, how is that possible? It's impossible to have a world where both of those things are true.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you don't disclose to me, because you're going to get mad that you are attracted to a person that is trans.
Right.
And want to do physical harm to this person. Like, the way you talk isn't even a way of genuine care or concern. It is a threat. The way you fucking talk is a threat. You know, it's a difference. If it would be different if people were like, well, tell me up front because I want to know how I can best help you, or I want to know how I'm addressing you correctly and all this. They're not saying out of concern. They're saying it just about them. Like, because that's going to make me gay. Unless I kill you, then I'm going to be straight again. That's like, you go, I can't believe these people are quote unquote tricking me. You mean surviving? You know what I mean? Like, well, apparently I have to trick you, because if I don't pass the trick standards in your mind, I can be killed. My life ain't worth shit. I'm just like a man. Because it's not like they go, oh, this person, I found out this person was trans and they're a trans woman and I have to understand the complexities of that. No, they go, cause you a man.
Right.
I can hit you like a man. I can kill you cause you a man. Nigga, you the problem. But you had the people that promote this that will think they not the problem.
You the problem.
They'll literally be like, I don't see how I'm part of the problem. I just sat there and laughed or whatever the fuck. It's like, nigga, you the problem too. We must navigate difficult conversations about desire and identity, about the fact that trans girls exist, and as long as we've existed, we've been desired by men, including high profile ones who won't ever own their desires, who are not working towards gaining the tools to deal with their attraction. And just so we are clear, just because you find me and my sisters attractive does not mean we desire you. You never could. Yeah, that's what's also funny, like all these, if you trick me, like, nobody's, when did you ever think you was gonna pull Laverne Cox or Janet Mock?
Right, because
what world?
Right, because at the end of the day, for men, it's about their penis and how dare my penis jump and be attracted to you. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the same thing. You know, they quote unquote claim, and I'm using their words, that you're quote unquote a man, but you know what, you beat them just like you do women.
Right.
You know, you beat them, you abuse them, you kill them just like you do women.
Right.
So because you can overpower them, and that's the whole purpose of the abuse, is the overpowerment.
Yeah. And from my understanding, the Breakfast Club's parent company iHeartRadio is hemorrhaging money. They don't know if they'll be open in a year or not, but I'm always gonna be conflicted about even covering this kind of shit on the show, because I know that they're a beast that feeds on the attention. Like, it's you know, it's like trying to fight a dragon with fire. You can be like, y'all are fucked up, but as long as they can turn this into, we the most dangerous radio show, everybody just come talk shit about us, and that, like, they're gonna always be at the center. So it's like, I to a certain extent, I don't even really necessarily like highlighting this shit, because all the attention is good attention, and some motherfuckers listening to this right now are just gonna flip right over to them as soon as they get done with us, you know. Like, it is what it is, and I don't know how you reach people that don't really give a fuck,
right?
You know, like, I can only tell you that it's fucked up what they doing and leave it at that. But you know, it's the same way that motherfuckers listen to this, but when I go to Stitcher, it says, if you listen to Blackout Tips, you might like Tariq Nasheed or some shit. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, that there's people that really think that his shit is as valid as what we say, and I don't know what to do about that.
Apparently it is, because some of the shows are like, with that algorithm, you'd be like, how do we get linked up with these people?
Right. But yeah, like, you know, I said, fuck the Breakfast Club on Facebook, and then one person had put like a sad face emoji. I was like, well, what's up with that? And it was like, oh man, I didn't see the clip today. I'm like, but honestly, dog, I could have said this any day. Like, it's not just today though, but I mean, people listen to him, people support him. I don't have a solution for you. That's shit that I listen to and support that is fucking problematic. I don't even know.
Correct.
Like, this is not even how I view the fucking world. That's the wild part about it. I don't know that a boycott is a win necessarily for anybody. I just know what they did needs to be confronted and brought out and talked about why it's fucked up.
Right.
I don't expect people to be like, and now I know. Most people are going to be like, I'm going to retreat into my privilege and be like, fuck everybody that disagrees. Anyway, Duvall purposely misgendered me as the host laughed, thereby co-signing, in an attempt to put me in my place and erase my womanhood. Their fragile masculinity would not allow them to recognize the simple truth. I'm an accomplished, beautiful black trans woman. Your willful ignorance will not stop me from being exactly who I am. My sisters and I are here, and we exist, and you will not diminish our light and our brilliance. Even in the face of this nonsense, I have to acknowledge that this is not about me. I've dealt with the limitations of little insecure men my entire life. I do thank each and every black woman and femme who's shown up for me, especially Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors, trans feminist editor Ashley Marie Preston, activist Blossom C. Brown, who disrupted a political conversation Sunday with co-host Charlamagne to call attention to the way his show helped perpetuate violence. Also, must shout out Raquel Willis's hashtag trans folks are not a joke. You know what's wild about this shit too is Breakfast Club will definitely be like, us laughing wasn't a cosign, which, like I said, I completely understand. In some cases people laugh and it's not a cosign. I completely understand. This is not one of those cases. It's just no one listening to that conversation came away with, well, they clearly disagree, they clearly do not find what he's doing funny. Nobody came away with that. Why do you think so many people didn't come away with that? You know what I mean? It's that moment where you're like, I don't know if y'all got that across. Y'all are communicators, y'all know, y'all are professionals, you know, but they can also retreat into the fact that most people will not care. And because they are, you know, if you're listening to that show, that's a show in your staple, you've tolerated a lot of shit before now. Why would today be different?
Right.
But I'll be just fine. I have a job, a home, a supportive husband, and a family. I feel protected and cared for. I'm okay. Unfortunately, my writing this essay or conducting another interview will not do all the work. It'll be up to you, the readers and listeners, to help bridge that gap. So I ask, how will you show up for our sisters who are watching, listening, and experiencing this violence daily? Yeah. I don't even know what you do about this. Because as I said, don't expect the show to go anywhere. Don't expect Charlamagne to go anywhere. Mm-mm. Don't expect Lil Duval to go anywhere.
Nope.
I don't expect anything to happen to anybody involved in this, because a lot more people believe and support this shit than don't. And even some woke ass, like, black cisgender feminist and women and other people that are still out there on some, like, yeah, but when it comes to trans issues anyway.
Come on.
So it's such a huge portion of the population. I don't know how you fight this shit, you know? I don't know. Hopefully us talking about it here has at least shine some light on some shit. Hopefully, people learn about some voices that they wouldn't have heard otherwise. You know, I wanted to read that on the air because honestly, I would rather somebody speak for themselves than to feel like we're always speaking for a community that we're not part of, you know. But there's so many articles and avenues and resources for people that want to hear what trans people have to say for themselves when it comes to this shit. Because you don't have to take our word for it. We're nobody. We don't fucking know everything. We're not academics. We don't study this shit. We just care about people and would like to live in a world where you don't have to be part of a group to care about a group. I think that, because I would like people to be that way for me. You know, I would like when some kid gets shot in the street, people to be like, oh yeah, that black person got shot and I'm not black, but that's fucked up. So anyway, Pakistan issues a landmark transgender passport. That's some good news. That's positive. Pakistan's marginalized transgender community on Wednesday welcomed the government's decision to issue its first passport with a transgender category as an important milestone in the struggle against discrimination. The conservative South Asian nation, where homosexuality is a crime, last week issued a passport to prominent transgender activist Farzana Riaz with an X to symbolize a third sex printed under the gender category of the travel document. Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that. If you just been going M, F, or whatever, in that, because you got one space on one box for all of history.
Right.
What is this? You know, you come up with something other than MF, they probably do put everything under X. Like, everything's going to be under that X now.
Everything.
Like, if it ain't an MF, it's an X.
Right. Right. And basically, if you ain't a motherfucker, we just going to put X.
Right. Men and women have both been given their identity. But we were deprived of this right. We are happy that there's a growing realization that we should be given our identity, Riaz said by phone. We also want to see how the outside world is, but we have been facing many problems with regard to complications in our travel documents. But thank God this issue has now been resolved. Good. There's no official data on the population of transgender people in Pakistan, but Trans Action Pakistan estimates the number is at least 500,000 in the country of 190 million. Trans people technically enjoy better rights in Pakistan than in many other nations across the world, but in practice, they are marginalized and face discrimination when it comes to health, education, and jobs. They often face violence and stigma. The country's Supreme Court has in recent years taken steps towards recognizing their basic rights. In 2009, the court rules that hijras, which include transvestites, transsexuals, and eunuchs, could get national identity cards as a third sex. Since then, it has also declared equal rights for transgender people, including the right to inherit property and assets, the right to vote, and be counted as a separate category in the country's national censuses.
Shit.
They ahead of us. Yet many hijras in Pakistan, as well as other South Asian nations such as India and Bangladesh, are attacked, murdered, raped, or forced to work as sex workers to support themselves. Others eke out a living by begging for alms on the streets. Last year, there was a spate of attacks on transgender people in the Northwest Province, Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, where Peshawar is the capital city. After one attack, an activist died in the hospital after being shot multiple times by a friend. Her friends accused the hospital of delays in her treatment, with staff unsure whether to admit her as male or female. Oh yeah, I remember that. The main challenge for us is to change society's behavior, Riaz said. We have largely been confined to the four walls of our houses because we are harassed, terrorized, and ridiculed by the people. Yeah, that's the other part. Even if you get the laws changed, you still gotta deal with them fucking people.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to some other news. Really wish I had better news in this segment. I'm just looking at this shit like, eh. All right, I guess we'll come back another day and be really bummed out, you know, for people. On a positive note, I know I saw Marissa, you guys know Marissa, Safety Pin Box.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her promoting, there was like a charity and for organization, Marsha P. Johnson Institute. And, I know I gave, So I'll try to put a link in the chat. Maybe people can do, if you feel the way I feel, maybe we can give or something, man. I don't know what we can do, but maybe we can do some things in the meantime, because people need help, man. And
they do.
Just sitting around and you know, laughing about the shit or acting like it's, you know, okay to kill people and shit, I just, you know, I don't know, that just, that felt like it crossed such a line that I would think would be a unifying line everybody would be able to agree on. But
come on, apparently
seeing the comments out there, it's, people do not agree. People don't even agree, people don't even agree that killing somebody is fucked up.
Come on.
I just don't. Killing, it wasn't even like he said, not that it would be okay anyway, but killing a person. And it was that, like I said, I could not imagine, for a parallel, this is how my mind works, but for a parallel, imagine tuning in to some white podcast with a bunch of white people on there, and they had a comedian on, and they was like, what do you think about, I don't know, this ban on black people from such and such, some shit, right? And then he was like, well, you know, what do I think about it? Don't ask me that. Okay, y'all know I'm gonna get in trouble. You know I'm gonna get in trouble. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they're kikiing, they're making jokes about the idea of like, well, look, if Trayvon Martin came at me and I got a gun, I'm killing him. Okay, I don't, and everybody just goes, ha 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 ha, isn't that so fucking funny? If Trayvon Martin, if I see his nigga in the back alley coming at me, I'm killing him. Yeah, I kill that nigga. Well, it's not, we don't say niggers, it's just black people or African American. What, that, de a nigger to me, okay? That's what I say, nigger. And he, like, I can't even imagine any black person being cool with that shit. Not one. Any of the people that defended this, I can't be like, under the auspices of comedy, I would give this shit a chance. Like, let's see how they work it out. Maybe it'll be good.
You wouldn't give a fuck. You'd be protesting in the streets.
It would be boycott time. It would be fuck them time, at least on site. On site, they catching hands time. Motherfuckers would be literally interrupting wherever they were fucking at time. That's how that would go down. You know what I mean? That dude from Andy and whichever one of them niggas was racist.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker had a racist tirade on Twitter and was done on these streets. Couldn't go to work, dog, because niggas did care. And it wasn't just that niggas cared, to be honest. Enough white people cared.
Right.
That they had to be like, oh, we gotta do something. Cause you know they didn't want to.
Right. It was just the niggas we could let it go, but you know.
Right. Cause I'm sure.
The other demographic.
I'm sure he does and said worse shit on their actual show, yes, cause mostly has. White people listen.
Right.
But the point being, there was a line enough for everybody. This ain't a line enough for everybody. I don't know what the fucking line would be.
Mm-mm.
Literally, they would have to invite somebody trans on and like hit them, beat them up in front of the cameras, and we'd all go, okay, now that was too far. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were joking when they beat that person up.
Somebody would defend it, because somebody always defended some fuck shit.
Sorry. Right. It's just weird that there's no decency in people. Mm-mm. This is weird. Anyway, I don't know what's gonna happen, but yeah, like I said, I'll put the link in the show notes for people. Maybe that'll make help somehow. I don't know. I'm at a loss. A firm ran a Ponzi scheme by claiming that they had Jay-Z connections.
What?
A Long Island firm lied about having ties to Jay-Z's entertainment company Roc Nation to bilk investors out of $70 million in a Bernie Madoff style scheme.
Woo!
According to court papers and alleged victims.
That's a lot of money.
You know what's better than $70 million?
What?
Credit.
Come on.
Among the investors in the credit card company were Ben Brafman, the high-profile criminal defense lawyer representing farmer bro Martin Shkreli. Nigga, you the defense for a nigga that's accused of some laundering shit, and you laundering? Takes one to know one, birds of a feather. If you lie with snakes, you're gonna get bitten. Every other thing my black grandmama ever said to me is true. It's all true.
You hang around trash long enough, you'll start to look like it. You hang around trash long enough, you'll start to smell like it. All them little sayings.
Oh my God. Well, I guess we find out who his little friends were.
Come on.
And also Charles Alpert.
And we found out who Boo Boo the Fool was too, apparently.
And Charles Alpert, heir to the Alpert family's textile and real estate fortune. Cardis International, which is based in Cedarhurst in Nassau County, is being probed by federal prosecutors in Central Islip. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Islip? Anyway. Over the alleged fraud, according to the documents and sources, Cardis said it had been hired by Rock for bill processing and email sent to investors, but a Jay-Z exec, Bryant Briggs, told the Post it wasn't true. Investors DeVore Weinstein and said co-founder Aaron Fishman lured her into investing $300,000 in Cardis by claiming Madoff style that he didn't need her money but would make a generous exception for her to invest. Cardis was more than $3 million in debt at the time, her Brooklyn federal lawsuit claims. It's funny because they always do this shit to athletes and be like, these stupid niggers get this money, they don't know what to do. He was just tricking white people. Like,
oh, they're going to jail. You can't trick white folks.
Right. Cardis lawyer Andrew Goodman said he is not aware of any requests from the federal government. Fishman didn't return requests for comment. I guess it's going to be a hard knock life for them guys.
Come on.
Okay. Oh, man. That is horrible.
Yes, that is.
So apparently in other hip hop related news, or black music news, I guess, Beyonce is in final negotiations to star in The Lion King and produce a soundtrack. The Lion King is getting a live action remake and rumors are swirling that Beyonce is set to star as Nala. She is also reportedly going to be signing on to manage the soundtrack for the movie, which will include African inspired music performed by the star and others, all of which is reportedly included in a whopping $25 million deal. Jesus. Woo! $25 million? That's Robert Downey Jr. money.
My presence is a presence. Regardless if she can act or not, my presence is a presence. You probably gonna make more fucking money off the you gonna make just as much money off the soundtrack as you would the movie.
She getting points on that on the back end. What is going on?
She probably is. You know, she's a professional.
Jesus Christ, dog.
She was like, oh, so yeah, I know I was pregnant. I just had my twins. But you know what I always be doing? Motherfucking grinding.
It hasn't officially been confirmed yet. So we'll see.
Yeah, she always grinding. Shit, she probably 5 years. She probably got her, when people talking about what's your five year plan, 10 years, she probably got all her shit mapped out for the next 20 years.
$25 million, nigga. $25 million. Mm-hmm. God damn.
Yeah.
Watch this shit be exclusive to Tidal or some shit. You never know.
Yep,
her.
That's why I got it.
You never know. She fuck around and be like, by the way, if you want to hear the soundtrack, it's going to be on Tidal for a month.
Oh, you know what? It'll be some shit where you go see it live, and the only way you can get it, you got to be in the audience, and they'll send it directly to the phone. Like if you outside of that little area, you probably won't even be able to receive it. You can get it, like, right now.
Mm-hmm. She going to be having, like, Kendrick on the Circle of Life and shit.
You know that album going to be flames. I don't know if I'm going to see it or not. I don't fucking care, but I want that goddamn soundtrack.
Shit going to be...
Missy Elliott gonna right. be on it. That shit's gonna be bananas.
Yep. Shit in the jungle, the mighty Come jungle. On. The lion sleeps tonight. Yeah. Oh, is that Drake?
Yes!
Is that Drake on the line?
What?
What's
okay.
happening?
Yeah, gonna be remixed with what the in the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps. Tonight. I am here for this.
The song's gonna be started with. It's gonna be started with. Hear your metro, don't trust you. Yes! Oh, what is this? What is happening? Is this a Circle of Life? What is happening? Circle of Life got Future on it? This motherfucking. I can't believe this shit. I can't believe this shit right now.
I know. They're gonna be like, what the fuck is happening?
Right. It's mustard on the beat, ho. Oh, yes! Damn! It's mustard on the beat. On this shit, Timon and Pumbaa got mustard on the beat with them?
Yes!
How? Alright, so lesser known hip hop news. There's a rapper named Zero.
Oh, shit.
I don't know.
Is there negatives? What's happening here?
It's Z dash row. Okay. I feel kind of old. Z dash R O. I don't think I've ever heard his songs.
I can tell you, you know me, I'm old. No.
Well, apparently he's accused of beating up a woman named Jess Brittany, and I guess Jess Brittany is one of the people trying to get on a VH1 reality show or something. I also do not know her. Okay. This is like how white people cover black folks news, I guess.
Come on!
Because I don't know these niggas. I'm sorry, y'all. Mm-hmm. I wish I was on the up and up. I don't know about who these people are. I do not know who they are, and I'm sorry for that. The record label Cash Money Records for Jess Brittany. I don't know. At any rate, he's accused of, she was his girlfriend. He's accused of beating her for more than an hour.
What?
Mm-hmm. And then she called 911. She didn't press charges until like this apparently happened in April. She didn't press charges till July. And his whole thing was she lying. She just trying to get on VH1. She's claiming she has a 21-minute cell phone footage to corroborate her claims. Zero claims. Just Brittany is lying about the incident and using it as a PR stunt for the VH1 reality show she stars in. He also cites photos of Just Brittany hanging out with friends just hours after the alleged assault would have taken place. Now TMZ has apparently obtained this is by far the stupidest shit I ever heard in my life. He recorded a track with sources close to Zero saying close to Jess Brittany saying it's a confession of his wrong doings. The track is titled Sorry. I think I actually have some of it. Let me see. TMZ.
I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry, baby. I just can't be your hoe. I can't believe I put my hands on you. Hands on I ain't you. Wanna do it. I was trying to blow 20 grand on you. Grand the fuck is a man gonna do without this ungratefulness and faithfulness that I get from the people I deal with and the woman I chill with. Woman, this is some ill shit. I was just that close to walking in and shooting everybody too.
What?
I mean, I don't want to say he definitely did it, but like, it sounds like he definitely did it. I don't, you know, like, I don't want to say, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to, it's not a court of law, you know, like, allegedly and all that other stuff that people normally say, but nigga, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't know what you, I mean, that sounded very, you know, it reminds me of that Key and Peele rap confessions, skit that they did. Hold on. I think I can find it. Let me see if I can find this shit. But they had a skit about rappers and how they be in the studio just confessing shit, but they be saying it on the song. Kind of like the Bobby Shmurda thing. Like, it's kind of like that. It's like, dog, you said you did it. What are the cops even supposed to do in that situation? It's pretty much an open and shut case. What are they supposed to, we'll never have the evidence. I mean, it's just hit play. Just go into the fucking courtroom and hit play.
Can we see it?
Oh, is it not showing up?
Mm-mm.
Oh, motherfucker. Hold on, guys. Give me a second. I'm bringing it back up. It does this sometimes when it's hating on me. Publishing took too long. Okay, cool, Crowdcast. I feel you. Sometimes it do take too long for the publishing.
To get published.
To get published.
Oh, my bad.
I
hit the mic.
But yeah, this is living your raps right here.
Yeah, I
in the worst possible way. And you should probably have to go to jail for this. I mean, we'll see. I'm not saying it's an open and shut case. I mean, I'll put it like this. If I was the prosecution, I would definitely play this song very loud on my car speakers on my way into court
every day.
Like, I might can't play it in the courtroom during the trial. I mean, that might be illegal or frowned upon, but maybe I could, you know, find a way that I could is it showing up yet?
It is now.
Okay, cool. Maybe I could find a way where, you know, I could find another way to do it.
First things first, I do not care that you're a multi-platinum selling rapper, Gunrag. What I care about is that I 100% know that you murdered Darnell Simmons. So, you better start talking.
Yeah, but you ain't got none.
Okay. I'm very glad that you said that. Because I respectfully... I beg to differ.
I killed Darnell, yeah, I shot him with my knife. I shot him 9 times, 9 p.m. on the dime. And by the way, it was November 9th.
Oh, no!
That don't mean nothing. I got a vivid imagination. I couldn't have shot Darnell. At my cousin's birthday party. Red Lobster, November 9th.
At Red Lobster?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, I gotta tell you, Gunrag, I find that really hard to believe.
I got an alibi for Red Lobster, when in reality I shot Darnell like a mobster. It's a lie. Anyone could tell this if you know about my allergy to all shellfish.
Just confess, Gunrag.
Confess that shellfish is the only thing that rhymes with tell this. It's just words. But then, nouns, adjectives, they just happen to be in a dope order. But we ain't got no pearl.
Shot up Darnell with a long ass gun and tossed it into the aquarium.
I have no idea what that object is.
So anyway, it goes on, but that's what the fuck this sound like. How the fuck are you even say, hey man, she just trying to get on TV? Nigga, you rhymed your apology about putting your hands on her in your song. Like, did she fake the song? Is that... niggas, go directly to jail.
Oh, do not pass go. Don't get $200.
Good grief. But yeah, let's see what else is happening. Hackers have hit HBO. They post Game of Thrones content and other shows online. I hate when this happens because people watch ahead and then, especially for our show, they start writing in and shit, trying to act like it's a I think the dragons are gonna actually turn into zombies or whatever. It's like, because you saw episode 6, and then it'd be exactly what the fuck they said, and they feel like they were so clever, but they just watched ahead. I don't know what we're gonna do. We may have to do something where we change the way we do feedback on the show, because we had to do this last time this happened, and unfortunately for me, ended up being spoiled and shit. We had to basically tell people to not write in with predictions for the future.
With the book readers, that was the problem with the book readers.
Well, not just the book readers, it got hacked last time, remember? Because we were ahead of the book last season,
right?
But it got hacked and people had the whole episodes, and that fucking sucks, man. Like, so yeah, I'm gonna have to tell people, you know, not to do that shit. But yeah, man, hackers, man. I guess they probably tried to hold it for ransom or something. The HBO was like, man, fuck you, put it out.
Yeah, because people gonna watch it anyway,
right?
I pay too much for my TV and too much for the cable not to watch it on my damn TV. I'm not watching it on my laptop or my phone. No,
right? Yeah,
thank you. I'm not downloading the virus. I'm good.
Right, I won't be getting this shit. But
I
still
won't be, and don't tell us nothing if you've seen it.
The FDA is trying to, you know, there's gonna be people on Twitter, by the way, who go around watching people live tweet and be like, well, you know, so and so is gonna die anyway or some shit because they hacked it. Like, just trash it. But whatever, it don't. literally at this point, even if I knew the ending, it wouldn't bother me, because I love the show so much. I still want to watch it.
Me too.
Even if people told me what happened, I'd be like, cool. Did you tell me what happened in CGI with huge dragons? No. Well, then guess what? The show's still worth watching.
Come on.
The FDA is trying to cut nicotine and cigarettes to non-addictive levels. They're gonna put cigarettes out of business if this is real. Also, I can't imagine the Trump administration letting this happen, but at the same time, it's so weird, because imagine this will be one of the most cost-effective taxpayer money saving things we could ever do, and save a lot of people money in the healthcare system if we got reduced smoking, so that people didn't have to deal with the illnesses that come associated with smoking.
And a lot of people actually want to quit, but it's fucking addictive.
Right. I mean, the only way to quit is you have to, I mean, not only way, but I mean, one of the ways to quit is to give you straight shots of nicotine to your skin. Like we know that it's extremely addictive. The FDA plans to begin a public dialogue about lower, but plans to begin to talk about one day, possibly, maybe, if everything goes right, lowering nicotine levels in combustible cigarettes to non-addictive levels through achievable product standards. The agency intends to issue an advance notice of proposed rulemaking. That just tells you how big the lobby is for cigarettes, to seek input on the potential public health benefits and any possible adverse effects to lowering nicotine in cigarettes.
Nope. But I'm telling you right now, in North Carolina, that's the number one cash crop. A lot of them, they are founded here. Acres and acres and acres of land. Them niggas protesting.
Yeah, honestly, if not for tobacco, North Carolina probably doesn't join the South in the Civil War.
Come on.
That's how big of a deal it is here. People still drive down here and visit and drive back with cartons of cigarettes because it's so much more expensive up north.
Come on, like, and particularly out of everybody, the state of North Carolina has the cheapest percentage, like, per carton and per pack. Like, cigarettes up there, a pack are like, you know, the big old, I don't know nothing about cigarettes, y'all, so I'm gonna be very ignorant. You know, the cart where they have like multiple packs in like a cart. You know, my cousins and them, they say you pay like $50-$60. You can get that same size for like $10 or $15. You know, up there a pack maybe $10. You know, down here a pack $250-$275 with tax. That's the big difference, you know, and the government actually cracks down on people purchasing them in big bulks and driving up north with them to sell them for up price.
Yep. That's a hustle. Democrats will not withhold financial support for candidates who oppose abortion rights. The chairman of the party's campaign arm in the House said in an interview with The Hill. Okay. This pisses me off because I do not take any pride in this, but I fucking hate being right about humans sometimes, because I told everybody Trump is successfully pushing the country to the right. All the people that claimed he would make this huge pushback and the left would galvanize and we would get the most progressive slate of candidates we've ever had, you were wrong. You don't know people. People ain't shit. So what you got is a bunch of Democrats going, well, what's it gonna take to win? And they're not going, we need grassroots campaigns, we need to get to the people, we need to support, we need to go back to our hardcore values and never compromise. No, you're not. You're getting a bunch of people going, let's compromise. What can we get rid of? Women, black shit, gay shit. What do we gotta do, guys? That's it. They're courting the Trump voter. That's the only way out of this to them. This nigga's in charge of some shit. The campaign arm, that's who get money to do shit. But yeah, Representative Ben Ray Lodge said that there will be no litmus test for candidates as Democrats seek to find a winning roster to regain the House majority in 2018. There is not a litmus test for Democratic candidates, said the chairman. As we look at candidates across the country, you need to make sure you have candidates that fit the district that can win in those districts across America. In taking the position, Lodge and the Democrats risk alienating liberals as well as people dedicated to promoting access to abortion and reproductive health services that represent the core of the party's base. Right. Because in this choice, you are telling us what's important to you. Like, you're not saying, when you say, well, we just got to do what it takes to win, you don't mean it at all costs. Like, if there was some other, like, if it was some issue that affected mostly white, straight, male people or something, y'all wouldn't give that one up. But if it's something that, oh, it's just women, where they gonna go? You know what I mean? If that's what you have to offer, then you don't have shit. Throwing weight behind anti-choice candidates is bad politics that will lead to worse policy, said Mitchell Steele, who oversees campaigns in NARAL Pro-Choice America. The idea that jettisoning this issue wins elections for Democrats is folly, contradicted by all available data. Because white people are so fucking intoxicated by whiteness and white supremacy. And I'm not saying the dude who said this is white, I don't even fucking know his race. Right. But you can still be a fucking agent of white supremacy and not be white. Right.
Correct.
But the thing is, the mentality is the same. The valuable votes are white votes. What makes white people uncomfortable? What makes men uncomfortable? White male votes are the valuable votes. Straight white men votes are the valuable votes to a lot of people, to a lot of politicians, and they betray this shit every time they start talking, so they cast aside the motherfuckers that they don't care about. And some people are better at it than others. Some people do the same thing but talk a better game. This nigga is terrible at it. He just came out and was like, listen, whatever's going on with them vaginas, not inconsequential. We just need to try to win. But you won't win that way. Mm-mm. Democrats who do this just look weak, because you can't out-bigot the bigots, dog. You always end up looking stupid.
You can't out-bigot them.
You're not willing to be as far right as them, and if you did, you'd be a fucking Republican, stupid.
Come on.
Like you keep thinking that these people are voting because they're just like, well, I just have this one hang up. No, that's what they say in public. That's what they say on these fucking polls. That's what they say to your face. What they really think inside is, fuck these niggers, fuck these bitches, fuck these spicks, fuck these chinks, fuck these Muslims, fuck they. That's all they thinking. They just don't say it because it's not comfortable to say out loud in public to people. They are bigots, and you're sitting up here talking, trying to capitulate to them. You can't. They're not telling you the truth when they say this is their one hang up. I'm just religious and I just don't think Jesus would want people to kill the little babies. That's what they say to you. If you go, well, you know what? That's the only part you disagree on. I'll tell you what. I'll compromise. I will not stand for abortion. I will not stand for it anymore. Okay? I'm no longer pro-choice. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, buddy. And then they go right in that fucking booth and be like, yeah, but the other dude's not pro-choice and he hates niggers and he hates everybody else and he's xenophobic and he's transphobic and homophobic. And you know what? I'ma just have to pull that trigger for him, because I actually believe that shit too. All this bigotry shit is connected. Nobody just believes one thing.
Right.
Ain't no one type of bigot, nigga. They all of them like all that shit. Ain't nobody that's like, well, I don't fuck with the Mexicans. But after that, no, they think fuck shit about everybody. You fucking liver-lilied, yellow-backed, spineless motherfuckers, dog. Just selling people out. And when you lose, now you done lost your fucking integrity, too. Or the appearance of integrity, because you didn't have any if you considered this.
Right.
But you've lost the appearance of having any fucking level of integrity with this shit as well. Idiots. Fuck. Anyway, he's serving the second term as the DCCC's chairman. He has cast a wide net for candidates. A map of his office while highlights districts held by dozens of Republicans, and he hopes to oust in 2018 midterm elections. To pick up 24 seats and to get 218, that is the job. We'll need a broad coalition to get that done. We're going to need all of that. We have to be a big family in order to win the House back. It always includes letting the biggest back in. But you have a fucking family you're not acknowledging. A bunch of people that are marginalized, can't get the right to vote, have their votes taken away, have their shit gerrymandered, have their shit, their ID questioned, and they don't have access to getting ID. You have an army of people that are willing to fucking support your platforms and vote in the most whatever supportive ways you can think of, and then you still running after these racist white folks that ain't coming back.
Nope.
Fucking idiot. Fucking idiots. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer have both argued against the party litmus test, saying there's room for people with different opinions on abortion. Senator Bernie Sanders, another influential voice, has echoed that argument. Right, and then, you know, it's funny because I know super woke people hate all these niggas and that's cool, but then y'all wonder why the fuck people still gonna listen to Barack Obama. This why. Y'all wonder why? Cause he coming back talking about fucking gerrymandering. These motherfuckers talking about, how do we get racist white people to care? And I'm supposed to think they a better avenue for my fucking future, for my niece's future and shit? Fuck out of here. Gotta be crazy. Democrats aren't likely to win the 24 seats. They need to recapture control without contesting more conservative districts. The last time Democrats won control in 2006 midterm elections, the party recruited and supported financially a significant number of Democrats who did not entirely support abortion rights, including former reps Brad Ellsworth, Bear Hill, Heath Shuler, North Carolina, and Jason Altmaier, Pennsylvania. Both Rahm Emanuel and, well, he was then the DCCC chairman, and Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean, with his 50-state strategy, understood that in order to win districts that had eluded Democrats in previous cycles, they were going to have to field candidates who didn't look like national Democrats. People understood the class of 06 was driven largely by centrist candidates. Yeah, you know, the other part with this, when Clinton won, I remember people being like, oh, Bill Clinton, dog, like, that Democrats got that win, but Bill Clinton campaigned as a centrist on a lot of shit. And ultimately to the right on crime. So like, even he was like, you know, and that's a person that many people, you know, looked up to and touted. And ultimately, I mean, to a certain extent, a lot of black people were hard on crime because our neighbors were being hit by crack. And, you know, it's a lot of revisionist history has occurred here, but nobody really thought they were putting their loved ones in prison forever.
Nope.
But that's just not how prison and how capitalism work. If you put a black person in prison, that's a money revenue stream for a lot of people, and the goal is to never have them get out and to never have them be productive in society again. But anyway, the point being to all this shit is this capitulation shit doesn't work. Ultimately, people were harmed by Bill Clinton's capitulation. You know, like, that's what's gonna happen again. You know, if these candidates win, they will win on some Republican values, and all Republican values are trash. All right, I see we're up against a break. I know we're getting close. What are we at?
A minute, less than a minute.
All right, cool. All right, I'll switch over to the next session, guys. We'll be right back. Give me 1 second. Shouldn't take but a little bit, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
Ninny, what's the meaning of this? A book?
Oh, listen, I just don't know what you mean, Miss Massa.
Ninny, so help me. If this is anything more than a cookbook, there will be consequences.
The footless kind.
Oh, bitch, let the bitch read.
Alright, I should be back on screen.
You
gotta invite Karen back. And then we can get back to this angry ass show. I'm sorry, guys. It's a very depressing.
Everybody got 100.
Show. This is a horrible episode of the show. I'm sorry. It's been very serious and has not been that funny, but, I'd rather be talking about this shit than not talking about it, to be
Ain't
honest.
That the truth.
Anyway, yeah, and their litmus test, apparently abortion rights is one of those things you don't have to worry about. Like I said, it's gonna be a bunch of shit that black people, brown people, LGBTQ people, and women care about. That's gonna be all the identity politics that they wanna let go. And you know what? You're gonna fucking lose. Remember this, where you heard it here first. You are going to fucking lose. And I don't wanna hear shit. And when niggas don't show up, or when motherfuckers don't support it, or whatever, don't say shit. You're going to lose. You know, like, for essentially, Hillary Clinton had the most liberal fucking platform that's ever been run by a mainstream Democrat, and she lost because niggas ain't believe in her, is to a certain extent, and obviously white people are racist, but right. She lost to a certain extent because niggas didn't believe in her. Like, it was, put it this way, niggas still came out and voted, but it was a hard vote for a lot of people, and that's on the most liberal campaign platform you ever had. Imagine if her platform was on some, like, well, you know, abortion rights, take it or leave it. This Black Lives Matter thing y'all keep saying, I don't know, maybe. Well, I guess they matter. If she was out here talking like that, nigga, it wouldn't even close. This is insanity. This is such a losing, I can't believe y'all don't know y'all are gonna lose. Fucking idiots. Speaking of which, one of the women that is opposed to the healthcare bill, Susan Collins, Republican senator from Maine, she's got death threats now.
I believe that because motherfuckers are dumb.
Yep, she said it won't affect her the threats that she's getting from Trump and all this shit, because he's starting to cut off her the subsidies to certain Congress members and shit like that. She said it won't affect her vote. She's still gonna vote now. Which is funny. She got more chutzpah than John McCain. But John McCain got all the credit for that shit. Saw people showing that, replaying the clip of him saying he wasn't gonna vote for it and breaking it down. I was like, but what about the two women that said they wouldn't vote for it and they're Republicans and they said they wouldn't vote for the first one, this one, or any of them? Somehow they don't count. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And I'm sure they trash because they're Republicans. And still, even in trash, guess who gets the lead for the trash people?
The penis.
Coke Zero is gone. Welcome Coke Zero Sugar. The latest sign that sugar is the new tobacco. Coca-Cola is relaunching Coke Zero as Coke Zero Sugar in the U.S., refining this message about the Coke's the zero-calorie soda. Zero-calorie soda will also appear at the bottom of the bottle, reflecting a shift in the consumer's focus from cutting calories alone to reducing sugar intake. The company said the red label will make the drink seem more like regular cola. It's less switching between brands, which will ultimately help us keep and attract more consumers.
Y'all gonna have some people hot, cause you know a lot of times people, I know I've done this with ketchup, you just pick some shit up and walk out and you realize it's some Coke with some sugar free shit, you gonna be mad.
They also
you gonna be highly upset. Make it a different goddamn color, cause honey, some folks gonna get home, they gonna turn it up thinking they gonna get some Coke and they gonna get some unsweet mess and they gonna be mad.
They also claim it has an even better tasting recipe for the relaunched diet soda and optimized a unique blend of flavors that gave Coke Zero its real Coca-Cola taste.
I don't believe you, because I'm telling you right now, you fuck around and get some salt-free ketchup. Bitch, that shit nasty. Salt make a world full of difference. No, I don't believe you.
Our best tasting zero sugar Coca-Cola yet, seemingly an insult to Diet Coke, which has been falling out of favor with consumers for many years. Yet a spokesperson told BuzzFeed News that Diet Coke was never intended to taste like Coke. It's a different platform, said the earlier comment referred instead to other zero sugar Coca-Colas.
Because just like it's a difference between a regular Coke and that the Coca-Cola that they use real cane sugar, that one's green. So I mean, you can literally tell they taste completely different. But like I say, if you're gonna have something that is not your regular standard Coke, you need to actually make some form of an I guarantee you they're gonna have some kind of a identifying wave or check mark or whatever, but it's gonna be so small that a lot of consumers aren't gonna be able to tell the difference. You're gonna have a lot of people running back up to the store. You're gonna have a cookout, people gonna be crunk, they're gonna turn that shit up, and you're gonna have your whole backyard mad. What the fuck is this?
That's a good point, Cam.
Have your margaritas and shakes or whatever else you stir Coke up with. Ain't Coke in Long Island iced tea. You're gonna have people mad.
That's a good point.
Protesting and turning over burgers in your backyard. It ain't gonna be pretty on the 4th of July. Don't do this, Coke.
That's a good point, Karen's. You guys know what it is. Karen's got a. Mm-hmm. When Karen says it, it's true.
Right. When you see the first Facebook post about somebody don't fell out today, Uncle. You heard it here first.
All right, guys. Let's move into some, lighter news. I think I'm gonna skip fucking with black people today.
Everybody got 100. No, I'm good.
I feel fucked with talking about all this fucking pain and strife in the world and how people treat each other and mistreat each other and talk about each other and shit, man.
We gotta let you know though,
it's stressful out here in these streets. So let's skip that today and go straight to white people news and get some positivity going, because we could all use some. I think we can all agree on that. Let me pull up my music though, because you know, can't do white people news without everybody's favorite, the acoustic cover of white people black people music. Okay, where's the Where's my share screen thing? Okay, there it is. There it is. All right. Let me know when it shows up, Karen.
Okay.
And hopefully it will show up this time. No bullshitting. Did it show up? No?
Not yet. I don't see anything.
All right.
Wait a minute. There you go. We see it now.
All right. Here we go, guys.
What is there? The school? Library?
Shawty, it's your birthday. You gotta party like it's your birthday. Party like it's your birthday. We don't give a fuck, it's not your birthday. You can find me in the club, bottle full of up. Look, I got the X if you're into digging drugs. Been having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug if you're into getting rough. When I pull up out front, you see the Benz on dubs. When I roll 20 deep, it's 29 in the club. Homies heard I fuck with Dre, and now they wanna show me love. When you sell like Eminem and the hoes, they wanna fuck. But homie, ain't nothing changed. Hoes down, G's up. See exhibit in the cut, hey. Gotta roll that beat up. If you watch how I move, you'll mistake me for a player or film. Been hit with a few shells, but I don't walk with a limb. Can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Look, I got the X if you're into singing drugs. I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug if you're into getting rough. Find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Look, I got the X if you're into taking drugs. I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug if you're into getting rough. Oh, so rough. My flow, my show, brought me the dough that bought me all my fancy things. My crib, my cars, my fools, my jewels. Look, brother, I done came up and I ain't changed. And you should love it way more than you hate it. Oh, you mad? I thought you'd be happy I made it. I'm that cat by the bar, toasting to the good life. Moved out the hood, you trying to pull me back right. Find me in the club, bottle full of love. Look, I got the X if you're into drinking drugs. I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug if you're into getting up. Find me in the club, bottle full of love. Look, I got the X if you're into making love. I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug if you're into getting rough.
Oh my god, I had to get that one next. Ukulele candy shop.
And that look like as soon as they end, they're gonna be like, all right, now flip your math pages to page 52. We're gonna show you some algebra class we're tutoring today.
Right. All right, so we have to do That Shaw's Man because white people still voted for this motherfucker.
Yes, they did.
First things first, grand opening, grand motherfucking closing, Trump removes the mooch only like 5 days after hiring this motherfucker. He wasn't even there long enough to get the first check.
No, he didn't work a full 8 hours. I think they're gonna take out some breaks.
Like, can you even get direct deposit? Mm-hmm. If you weren't there for more than a week,
they'd be like cash only.
Right. He removed Anthony Scaramucci from his position as communications director. The White House announced ousting him just days after Mr. Scaramucci unloaded a crude verbal tirade against other senior members of the presidential senior staff. You know what's wild too about it to me? His wife, this nigga missed the birth of his children.
Mm-hmm.
His wife filed for divorce and he got fired in a week.
It was all good just a week ago.
I feel like after he lost his job, he called his wife and was like,
Anthony Scaramucci, who had been communications director.
Tell you to play that. I feel like after
for just 10 days.
Hey, bitch, what are you doing? Stop. That's enough. Okay, guys. All right. Now I think we're good. All right. I feel like after he got fired, he called his wife up and was like, bitch, you still mad? Oh, Rance Priebus somewhere partying, you know? because Rance Priebus just got fired too, and this dude was supposed to come in and help, you know, shake things up, and they just got that Kelly dude now.
Miss Martin said that he didn't even get his parking pass,
right?
Parking spot. He didn't even get his name tag. They didn't give you. You know how you got to wait a few days for them to type your name up on a little nameplate. He didn't get that. He didn't get his nameplate for his desk.
Dog, more turnover than when I worked at McDonald's. I swear to God, this is crazy. Like, he wasn't even there long enough to do anything to make me hate him other than just be himself.
Yeah, cause he wasn't even long. He, you know what? He didn't even long enough for the 90-day probation.
Right.
They didn't even take out insurance.
Mm-mm. Nope. He can't invest in the 401k. Mm-mm. They don't match it.
Mm-mm. Like, well, you gonna get $2 back?
He's still a temporary employee and he done got fired.
Come on!
People that they banned with the transgender ban in the military still have jobs, and his ass gone after he announced it. That's some delicious rich irony in this motherfucker not having no job. Mm-hmm. And he got fired technically on his day off because he don't start till August 15th.
Oh shit!
Right. Somebody on my Facebook was like, you ain't got no job, you ain't got shit to do, I'm gonna get you high today. He can get you fucked up. He need to get fucked up, man. This nigga is. Anyway,
how you get fired on your day off?
Now, I don't even know if it's appropriate to play this because I'm not actually excited about this, and I don't think he had much of a role in the administration anyway, but it's funny. Nigga made it 10 days. Chance the Rapper made a whole ass album in 10 days.
Right?
The title subscription is longer than 10 days. Also, Crunchyroll, Netflix, a bunch of shit. Celebrate. 10 days means he got one check.
One check, and it was for $8.50.
One check. You still had to, your uniform come out of your first 10 days right. Check. You got to pay for the uniform, too. 10 days, bruh. You lost your wife in 10 days. You missed your kids' birth in them 10 days. You made a huge gaffe talking about somebody sucking their own dick in 10 days.
What?
Yes, yes. That's one of the main things that got him fired. He said, like, Rich Bannon is sucking his own dick in his office or some shit. Some crazy shit. Cause Trump hires the lowest bar of, fucking people. All it takes is a hard on for Trump and you can get the job.
Right. And I guarantee you somebody said, don't hire him. Trump was like, fuck it.
Yep. In a Twitter message before 5:30 on Monday morning, just hours before the announcement about Mr. Scaramucci, Mr. Trump insisted there was no White House chaos. Which, if you know that lying ass nigga, that mean it was definitely White House chaos coming on.
Mm-hmm. You know, all the interns, everybody else seen that shit was like, what the fuck is happening here?
He boasted about reporting directly to the president, not the chief of staff, but the decision to remove him came at Mr. Kelly's request, people said. Yo, you know what else is funny? He deleted all them tweets. For nothing.
Nothing, dog.
You lost all your tweets, all your integrity, everything for a nigga that fired you in 10 days.
Come on.
Like, Trump really think this shit The Apprentice.
He does. And you know what? Ain't he a government employee? Don't they get paid once a month? So yep. That means you gotta wait till the 15th or the 30th to get your check?
Right.
You don't get your $2.50 check on the day you was supposed to start work.
Trash. Anyway, good riddance. Bye. I don't feel bad. Mm-mm. Fuck nigga. Over here. Mm-mm-mm. Jim Baker said God's judgment will punish those who turn their backs on Trump. Judge away, my nigga. Because I'm going to be turning.
Jim Baker who? Jim Baker from?
You know it's Jim Baker, Karen.
But the one from North Carolina?
The Baker with two Ks. They should have had three. Jim Baker, If any televangelist Jim Baker's viewers are having second thoughts on President Trump, Baker just sent a stern reminder that opposing opinions will not be tolerated, especially when it comes to the Almighty. By the way, this is why you should fucking tax the church. I'm serious. These motherfuckers that come out and make these political statements, all these niggas need to be taxed. All of them. Shut the fuck up when it comes to politics if you ain't got no motherfucking, you don't pay no taxes. Shut the fuck up and stay out of it. Period. For either party, by the way. I don't give a fuck. Stay out of it. Because you don't get taxed on purpose. But you can go on TV and say some crazy shit like this and then be like, listen, I'm just saying what Jesus said. Okay, I don't know why y'all so mad at me, but God came to me in a dream and said, I don't fuck with niggas that don't fuck with Trump. And they gonna get judged for it in heaven. Yeah, that pussy grabbing son of me, I was surprised too. I said, God, for real, the pussy grabber? He said, yep, that's right. The pussy grabber who is going to lower my taxes. During this TV show this Wednesday, Baker warned that those opposed to Trump's agenda are inviting judgment from God. Isn't God going to judge everybody when they die, though, according to your rules? So why would you be inviting judgment? Wouldn't everybody be inviting judgment no matter what they do?
No matter what you do.
Seems like it's a loaded supposition that is,
yeah, who are you judging?
Judgment equals bad. So you are actually inviting a bad judgment is what you're trying to say. And somehow for the entirety of your career, God only judges people that vote Democrat. Isn't that interesting? But you're not a political organization, no.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. He said, while pushing the book called The Trump Prophecies.
What do they say? Thou shalt worship Trump. Thou shalt say Trump has big hands. Thou shalt not criticize Trump toupee.
How you gonna pimp a book called the Trump Prophecy? What did God write that? Was it Trump Prophecy?
No.
Did he see this?
Nope.
1,000 years ago?
Nope.
Put in a book?
Nope.
What the fuck is the Trump Prophecies, dog?
I just told you what it was.
You're selling a book for Donald Trump, the prophecies. Why are people still supporting this?
I don't know.
Like, if this is your God, why aren't you sitting around like, yeah, dog, I'm out. I don't think God has anything to do with a book being sold to me called The Trump Prophecies.
Come on.
I feel like that's where a lot of people should be drawing a line. I can't say I'm not in anybody's church or not religious at all, but I feel like for a lot of people who claim to believe all this shit, you should be thinking to yourself, how the fuck did I get here? Well, this nigga's on TV, like, for $9.99, you could be in and know on the Trump prophecies. Also, if the prophecies are so motherfucking important, why wouldn't you just tell me for free, nigga? It's the Trump prophecies and God is trying to help me. Why I gotta pay the $9.99 so I can find out?
Right.
boy, I tell you, these motherfuckers crazy, boy. And I tell you what, he said. Oh, wait, he said, first he said, new prophecies about what's going to happen next with Trump. Baker explained, God is doing something. God is speaking. God is taking over. And I tell you what, you better be careful, because I want to tell you. Man, he does a lot of telling, don't he? That's how you know he's lying. That's his tale. Like, whatever he's about to bluff and poke, he's like, I tell you what, I'm going all in. I tell you this much. You don't want to have your money on the table when I go all in. I tell you, brothers, I tell everybody, I'm telling. Okay? I tell you this much. I am not bluffing. I feel like that is his tale. Like, that's how you know he's bullshitting. Tell you what, God wrote this book. Co-authored by God. He said, this is what Trump gonna do tomorrow. And I tell you, God was talking about Twitter and shit. Listen, the nigga gonna be on Twitter every day.
Every fucking day.
You just gotta ignore a lot of it. You'll go crazy, to be honest with you. The Trump prophecies, nigga gonna be golfing this weekend. That's That one is a surefire. I could have wrote the Trump prophecies.
Come on.
Maybe I need to get some rubes.
It'll take more vacation than any other president. Right. I could have wrote the Trump prophecy.
The Trump prophecies. He won't give a fuck
about anything or anybody.
Mm-hmm. He gonna get impeached. Trump prophecies. You better be careful, because I want to tell you there's going to be judgment coming as America turns its back in what God's trying to do, because God is trying to save America, he said. All right, y'all believe that shit if y'all want. Trump's supposed to be signing some sanctions and shit, so then Putin and them was like, Americans at work for the U.S. embassy in Russia, get the fuck out. And he fired basically 755 people on diplomatic missions in Russia, which is nearly two-thirds of the Americans in Russia for the government. Yeah, and what's funny is this was all started by Obama. Obama had them sanctions and shit. Everybody was shitting on him. Why would he do something out and say? He told motherfuckers how dirty the shit was. They just didn't give a fuck. And I'm not even talking about Mitch McConnell now. I'm talking the American people. He said this shit shady, and these Russians got a lot of shit they doing, and we putting sanctions on their ass, and people are still like, I don't know, it's probably a nothing burger. Well, guess what? Russia ain't cool with Trump, and this shit so big, even Trump got to sign sanctions. Like, it's that big, because you know he wouldn't, because he want to prove that he is the king of America and does what the fuck he wants, and even he got to sign them fucking sanctions because everybody in America looking at him with the stink eye like, nigga, you better not fucking not sign this shit. And then preemptively Putin is like, y'all get the fuck out of my country then. What the fuck was this article? Politically ambitious pups and kittens, put your resumes aside, the job of first pet. Oh, these niggas gonna be the first White House to not have a pet, y'all. Now look, I don't care about this shit because it's obviously a fluff story, and who gives a fuck if a nigga got a dog in their White House. Here's what I will say. Animals can sense the evil.
Ah!
Anybody that's seen Terminator or any of them Halloween scary movies, animals be knowing, and that's why the fuck they don't want to put an animal in the house with Trump, because that shit ain't going to be doing nothing but growling all day like, this motherfucker.
And tearing his ass up.
Right. Running away and shit when he get mad. That's all the animal would do with Trump. Some Chris Christie, I don't give a fuck. I don't remember what that was about. Steve Bannon, who is mad at who got the mooch fired for saying that he just sits around sucking his own dick, apparently reportedly attacked Ryan Paul as a limp dick motherfucker.
Okay. Oh, okay.
These are the most presidential motherfuckers.
That's all he has in his office. People fail to realize his cabinet and the people around him are the least qualified people in fucking American history. That means something, y'all. They're not professional, they're not educated, and they give zero fucks. So this is what you get.
Also, former Sheriff Joe Aparo committed a crime by defying a court order to stop detaining suspected undocumented immigrants. A judge ruled on Monday in the latest rebuke for once popular politician who was voted out of office last year. He's been convicted of criminal contempt. I don't know if he'll go to court or not. He's 85 years old. I don't know if he'll go to jail or not, but I hope so.
Me too, fuck him.
And honestly, dog, real talk, when it comes to his ass, same thing. Oh, you go straight to fucking jail, dog. And he's one of the problems with America too, because he's one of those motherfuckers that takes pride in being completely brutal with and abusive to inmates.
Right.
He's the guy that's like, I'm gonna try to make him wear pink and shit, which I don't have a problem with, to be honest, but he did it specifically to be like, I'm emasculating these motherfuckers. Like I'm mentally winning this war with them.
Ain't he the one that said I offer prisons up the hill by the wall?
Right. Yeah.
That's the same.
He trashed. All right, let's get into the white people news that people enjoy. Okay. And I promise tomorrow, guys, we're going to relax. Tomorrow we're going to do wine and white people.
Yes.
And it's going to be great. And we're just going to enjoy it. And we're going to take a day off. We're gonna just have fun talking about white people, okay? We'll do a little bit of white people news today, and then we'll do some guest erase and we'll get out of here. Dodging a Marilyn Monroe moment, Sarah Jessica Parker narrowly prevents her dress from flying up while getting off a helicopter.
Where the pictures, bruh?
I'm trying to get them up. They're just moving slow. You know how it is, Karen. When you're dealing with this Atari 2600 I got over here right now. I'm like, why this shit been moving slow lately? All right, here we go. Should be up in a second. But, yeah, man, fuck Joe. Sarah Jessica Parker skillfully dodged a wardrobe malfunction on Sunday. The actress's dress almost flew up in the air. She stepped off a helicopter in New York City. The Sex and the City alum managed to snatch her skirt before it exposed too much skin. The 52-year-old stepped onto the NYC heliport and the wind blew her gray frock up, but her lightning fast reaction prevented photographers from getting a glimpse of her underwear. Damn, so close, y'all.
I know.
How else will we see the underwear of this actress that has probably been naked on TV before many times, or at least in her underwear on Sex and the City?
I know.
But hey, we don't see them 52-year-old gams, dog. It's a bad day. Yeah, the 52-year-old. Yeah, that's what I just said. The celeb was sporting a gray mini dress beneath a dark cardigan. She completed the layback look for a pair of matching sandals on her feet.
Mm-hmm, this is why people, grandma, but like, mm-hmm, this is why you need to wear slip for the wind.
The beauty was all smiles after narrowly avoiding the fashion faux pas, waving at cameras and placing her hand on her head in relief. The Ohio native donned oversized sunglasses on her famous face and her long locks were pulled back into a bun. She was hopping off the helicopter like, hey, Lily, I see you.
We see it. I'm see the picture.
And y'all ain't never going to see this picture now, okay? It took too long to publish.
Ah!
All right, let me see. I'll bring it up, guys. Sorry.
Thank you.
I don't know. Sometimes it takes twice these days. Let me know when it shows up.
I will.
The divorce.
There you go.
The divorce actress was carrying a silver pattern bag as she returned from a weekend in the Hamptons.
I like that dress.
Right? She be taking helicopters. The Hocus Pocus star is no stranger to wardrobe malfunctions. Last year, the blonde revealed to Andy Cohen on Watch What Happens Live that she had ripped the green velvet Alberta Ferrari dress she was wearing for her appearance. I ripped it there and there, she said, pointing at two tears in the seams. But instead of acting embarrassed, she owned the mistake and embraced the new aesthetic. I actually kind of dig this. It does something to the dress. She told the Bravo host, that being said, she did clarify that the rip in no way reflects on the house of Ferretti. Nigga, if it ripped, it do reflect on them niggas because they made it. But you know, they don't want to hear the truth, queen.
Mm-mm.
Outback Steakhouse responds to a satanic cult conspiracy.
What? What's happening here?
Outback Steakhouse is happening here, apparently.
Oh. That's a weird place to me. I think we've
because
only been...
Because the devil's in it, Karen.
No, I think we've only been there like once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was aight.
Mm. Well, you know, it's a day out. It's a night out for families and stuff on a budget. It's not... You know, it's for people that, you know, it's not necessarily fine dining, but right. it's still better than what you would have got. And honestly, I thought the shit was delicious, to be honest. And they fucked up my steak, and the steak I got was still good. I mean,
now,
steak.
I like that blooming. Don't they do the blooming onion people?
They are the blooming onion people, and I hated the blooming onion. That was the only thing I hated there. It's like onion fritters. It's like, nigga, this not real food. I got this because y'all niggas said to get it.
Right.
And it was fucking trash. There was so many other appetizers that I did want that I didn't get because I fucked with that blooming onion. Never again.
Yeah, we might have to go back and try it again. And no blooming onions.
It wasn't bad to me, but you know, whatever, man. It's a good little day out and it won't break the bank, you know?
No, it don't break the bank.
I mean, to be honest, as much as people pay for like Ruth Chris and some of these other steakhouses, like shit, I'd rather go to Outback then, you know?
Yeah, for the money you spending, sometimes depending on what it is, you quality food just about the same.
Another day, another bizarre conspiracy theory involving a seemingly innocuous restaurant and satanic occultism. A few internet sleuths got the better of Outback Steakhouse recently after they uncovered a pattern of stars, more specifically pentagrams, in the locations of the restaurant chain across cities nationwide. The conspiracy appears to have originated from a tweet. The tweet was by user @EatMyAesthetics, who on Thursday posted a series of screen grabs of the purported pentagram patterns of Outback Steakhouse locations in four areas: Indianapolis, New York City, Mesa in Arizona, as well as areas outside of Atlanta.
That just means they all start look alike. What are we talking about here?
What the fuck is Outback Steakhouse planning? And in it, you can see they took the location of the Outbacks and drew lines between them to look like pentagrams.
somebody got bored in geometry.
Oh shit, it got 117,000 retweets.
Oh, somebody brought it up. Illuminati
reach for comment by International Visits Time spokesperson for Bloomin' Brands Inc., which owns Outback Steakhouse, confirmed that the restaurant is not involved with any cult, satanic or otherwise. Once it was brought to our attention, we took a look at the map and saw something completely different. The spokesperson told IBC.
Have you seen stores and locations?
Well, no. I think they're saying the person lied. They said this is where Outback is, but they're not even located there, is what I think they're saying. And no, of course, we're not involved in any cult. Following the initial tweet, other sleuths located Outback Steakhouse location pentagrams and other, I guess, locations or what else.
I don't even think it's that many here in Charlotte. Like, it ain't enough to draw a star.
No, they took, like, these are some big ass maps.
Oh.
You know, okay. Like, they just went to, they found five Outbacks and drew lines between them, it seems.
Oh, Lord.
That's good, though. White people, man, they ain't have nothing to do. Mm-mm. So they came up with that shit. Let's see what else. Let me go to some old white people news. We never got off the docket. Uber board member resigns after making sexist remark in a meeting about pervasive sexism.
You don't say.
Nigga. Thank God the meeting wasn't about racism, right? Can we all agree?
Woo!
The Uber board member who made a sexist remark during today's meeting about the prevalence of sexism within the company has resigned from his position. David Bonderman's resignation from the Uber board was first announced by the New York Times. Man, Uber has so many bad PR problems. Mm-hmm. And confirmed in a statement by Bonderman himself, in which he said his comment was careless, inappropriate, and inexcusable. Bonderman was recorded making the remark in reply to fellow board member Arianna Huffington, who was speaking about the need for more female representation at Uber's board. When there's one woman on the board, it's much more likely that there will be a second woman on the board, Huffington said, to which Bonderman shot back, what it shows is that it's much more likely to be talking. To be more talking. Cause women be talking at a board member of, not, this was not on his comedy podcast, this was not at the stand-up lounge. Mm-mm. In Indianapolis. He was
doing the tour
during a motherfucking conference meeting about the very serious issue of sexism within your company.
And women were probably, I'm assuming, at least one woman was listening. I don't know, somebody. Mm-hmm. There was a woman somewhere in the crew.
He said the comment came across in a way that was the opposite of what I intended, the destructive effect it had, and I take full responsibility for it, plus the bitch must be on a period.
Come here with your goddamn dresses and shit.
Vagina lips all flapping in my face.
I know. What else am I supposed to do?
Right. Uber is currently considering the findings of the so-called Holder Report, an internal investigation into claims of sexual harassment and toxic sexist attitude within the company. Bonderman noted the report in his statement, saying that he had been working with the company for 6 months on the report and recognized the importance of implementing its requirements for the future of the company. His resignation will come into effect from tomorrow morning, and it comes as Uber continues to hemorrhage executives and major figures. Earlier in the day, CEO Travis Kalanick confirmed that he was also taking a leave of absence from the company.
Uber got that White House turnover.
Right? Size matters. As stars like Khloe Kardashian and Alessandra Ambrosio step out carrying mini backpacks, female rounds up the most stylish options for the summer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Backpacks aren't just for students. The carry-all is having a sartorial moment. Stars like Kourtney Kardashian, 38, and Alessandra Ambrosio, 36, and Gigi Hadid, 26, have all been carrying many versions of the back-to-school basics instead of traditional handbags lately. And they got pictures of them with backpacks.
Yeah, make sure you carry more shit in it.
Mm-hmm. Courtney was spotted with Louis Vuitton last week wearing a Nachmani leather pant by Hennessy and an off-the-shoulder top by The Line by K.
Those are cute.
Yep. The reality star accessorized a sleek look with the new Giovanni Rossi shoes. I don't know about money. And the Palm Spring mini Louis Vuitton backpack featuring the brand's signature monogram.
I'm talking about hundreds, possibly thousands of dollars for some shit to look bedazzled.
By the way, all these pictures on Instagram are just ads. Like, look at this. This is Olivia Copo, 25, taking a picture in her car with her, of course, bag propped very neatly in the backpack, in the passenger seat.
Yep.
Looking right in the camera. That's so wild, man. These celebrities, though, they be getting money.
Yup. That's why they kind of fighting against that. They was like, look, we ain't getting no money off of this.
Yeah, you got to put ad in it now if you say it. But yeah, these motherfuckers wearing backpacks. And nobody's ever done that before. So these white women get all the credit, y'all. Now it's in. No women have ever worn backpacks before today.
Apparently not.
So thank goodness for these white women making it a style,
saving the day,
bringing it to people. Awesome. I mean this article's old, so I'm sure y'all guys have seen it all motherfucking summer, right?
All summer.
Have y'all seen it all summer? Mm-hmm. Have all of y'all been walking around like, where are all these backpacks coming from?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess you're just out, not in the fashion forward crew then, Karen.
I'm not.
Demi Moore apparently revealed to Jimmy Fallon during an appearance on the Tonight Show in June that she lost her two front teeth because she was so stressed out.
What?
Mm-hmm. The most insane thing I've ever seen, Fallon told her after she shared a toothless selfie with the audience. I shared off my front teeth. I love to say it was skateboarding or something, really kind of cool, but I think it's something that's important to share because literally probably after heart disease, one of the biggest killers in America, which is stress. Stress sheared off my front teeth.
What kind of stress you dealing with? Your stress just strangled your teeth out your face? Your stress was like, teeth, you got to go.
I hope it's not a lie. I hope she wasn't just on meth.
That don't make sense. I
hadn't heard of that before. Maybe it's a thing. Maybe it's a thing, and she the first person that I just heard of it from. Maybe people shear off their teeth from stress, Karen. You never know. The striptease star has since had her teeth repaired, but wanted to share a story. I literally just like knocked it out. It almost like fell out. My warranty was up. Thank God for modern dentistry. This isn't the first time she's revealed her dental woes. October 2010, she told Ellen DeGeneres on that show that she knocked her own teeth out because she had been clenching her teeth too hard. I wonder if this is just a Demi problem.
Yeah, that sounds kind of weird. Or, you know, not trying to funny, but you're not taking care. You know, because if you don't properly take care and do oral hygiene,
mm-hmm.
I could see something like that happening. I mean, how goddamn hard were you clenching your teeth? I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. Like,
mm-hmm.
Were you just, like, gnawing on the fucking bone? I don't understand.
Well, I guess it's a it wine for sure. Because if she was black, we'd just be like, she on that crack. Damn shame what happened to Demi. Knocked the teeth out so she could suck dick for crack.
Because that don't, I don't know.
When you white, you could just be like, you know, guys, stress. I was stressed out, and my teeth just came out magically on their own, and there was none of the, no drugs were involved.
Yeah, no doctors that came out and said this is the thing.
Right.
I mean, all these damn dentists, and no dentist that ever came out and said nothing about this. I mean, their whole job is to study teeth.
It's important to study, just to share my story, where you just pop your own teeth out, because, you know, stress is just... Ooh, I was so stressed out. All this money and shit, it's just too much. Too much. Exasperated attendees give up on Gwyneth's Goop Summit. Gwyneth Paltrow, Snowtep, shout out to Leslie Mack, inaugural health and wellness summit on Saturday kicked off just as you'd expect. Well-groomed women wearing yoga pants and expensive handbags hooking themselves up to IVs and oxygen tubes in the parking lot. Experiences otherwise associated with the glamour of getting triaged at a disaster site. This is Paltrow's peculiar gift or grift, and it was on full display at In Goop Health. her day-long event meant to bring her website's most requested and shared wellness content to life. By last week, all 500 tickets ranging from $500 to $1,000 to $1,500 had sold out.
What?
Another event is planned in New York City in January. Gwyneth, what did you do with that money for that school? For them boys? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Ooh. I'm getting her confused with another doctor. My bad. Ooh. Dr. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Wrong doctor. It's another doctor.
I get confused these days.
I mean, all the doctors look alike to me. My bad.
I get my hotels and my snow tails a little mixed up.
You know, my bad. When are you going to build that yoga center for those kids?
Right. What about the yoga center? Attendees were told via email to arrive at 9 a.m. The summit wouldn't actually begin for another hour, which allowed enough time to shop inside a cavernous industrial space for Goop branded products such as water bottles. $35.
What is that water bottle made out of? It better not be made out of a goddamn Goop. What do you do with the water bottle? You stick it up your coochie? What are we doing with this goddamn $35 water bottle?
$35 right. For a bottle of fucking water,
that's
dog.
Right. She's Gwyneth the Scammer.
Gwyneth the Scammer. That is a great, yes.
Shout out to EVE.
Gwyneth the Scammer.
What white nonsense is this?
What white nonsense is this, Gwyneth?
She was like, I got a motherfucking hustle.
Oh my God. The queen of them all.
I ain't got to act no more if I don't feel like it. Y'all better be glad I showed my white ass up.
And people gonna have the nerve to be mad Beyonce out here trying to make money off Lion King.
Come on.
This woman selling y'all alkaline water and eating it up.
Y'all sticking things up a coochie in your bum hole and you good with that word.
She told them to arrive at 9 and then showed up an hour late to make sure they had an hour to buy $35 bottles of water, $100 hoodies, and G-branded flight pack consisting of 4 thin nesting canvas bags containing some magnesium packets, a sleep mask, earbuds, and moisturizer for a grand total of $198.
Wow! Really doing this, dog?
We are really doing this, Karen. It's happening. This is a thing.
What white nonsense is this?
This is a thing that is happening. Yeah. And apparently it's okay.
And doctors have came out and said she's selling y'all bullshit. And they were like, fuck it.
I got to pay for this $35 water care. Okay. What else I supposed to do? Not drink $35 water? That's crazy. It was a physical manifestation of the day to come. Though for those willing to spend so much on so little, Paltrow will happily take your money. She introduced her first speaker, Dr. Habib Sadiji, on cosmic flow by explaining her own interest in wellness, or in her parlance, healing modalities. So that's the thing. They just come up with ways to say the shit different.
Come on.
You're like, oh, so these Band-Aids are $47? Oh, no. Of course, to a lay person, you would probably still say Band-Aids because that's what you do. But no, they are called healing cloths. And the healing cloths are, yes, $47 each. Yes, thank you. Yes, but these are different than the Band-Aids. Yeah, well, we took them out of the box and sold them individually. So that's one way that they are different.
You know what, they probably do them things like when I found out with medicine. I worked at this big plant where they package medicine, particularly like Advil and ibuprofen and things like that. And what they used to do was they let's say it was Advil, they would actually have the machines, the same bottles, and have an Advil sticker, and the machine would run. Then it would be ibuprofen. All they would do was take the tape, just stuck the Advil on it and change it around and rub it, and it would have whatever the generic version is. I guarantee you that bottled water, that's $35, is the same bottled water you find at Walmart for $7.95. They probably just take something and smack Goop across it and run it across the thing. I guarantee you probably cost $2.50 for that $35 bottle of water.
Yep. Karen, it's not a bottle of water, okay? That is a cylinder of H2O. Yes, it is hydrogen dioxide, and we use it to rejuvenate ourselves, and that will be $37. Well then, I guess you can go across the street and get their water in those plastic disease-ridden bottles if you would like, but a cylinder of hydrogen dioxide will be here for you whenever you're ready to live. Yeah, it began in 1998, she said, after her beloved father was diagnosed with cancer, and given her brand's origin story, it seems naive at best, craven at worst. But Paltrow to commodify junk science and dangerous information, even the affable late night host Jimmy Kimmel, who had Paltrow on his show Tuesday night, couldn't play along, asking about a recent Goop post claiming the scientific benefits of going barefoot. What is earthing, he asked. I don't know that much about earthing, Paltrow admitted. There's this type of electromagnetic thing that we're missing, and it's good to take your shoes off and walk in the grass. I don't know what the fuck we talk about.
And I 100% believe her. Other people come up with these fucking ideas, smack her name across it, and she just cash them checks.
Dog. What about the jade egg? $66. She tells readers to insert their vaginas. Is that something you believe in, Kimmel asked? I don't know, Paltrow said. I never read that before.
Right, because she don't know what the fuck they be selling. She literally just show up and be like, what's that? Cool.
Oh, like, she know.
She just playing stupid.
Cause she just plead the fifth.
Because she don't want to be held accountable. People go like, well, bitch, this shit ain't real.
Yeah. She not slick with this shit. She not slick, dog. Like, it's kind of obvious what's going on. She knows she gonna get asked these questions in these fucking interviews.
Yeah, somebody prepared her.
You know, so then when she gets in the interview, I don't know. It's funny to me too. Right. I mean, why would anybody do something like that? And you're like, dog, you know what the fuck they asking you. You know what it's about. You just don't give a fuck. Motherfucking man.
Send these white women money.
Right.
Cause ain't no nigga. What niggas you know walk around with some fucking goop?
With some goop, y'all motherfucking man. These white people looking stupid as hell out here.
Now that's the slime, like real goop,
right? But if it works, right?
Hey, your hustle is a hustle, like people say.
But yeah, she so stupid, man. I can't believe this. I don't know. I don't even know. Where you would begin to get a question like that, to be honest. I mean, how did you even come up with that? You know, what a strange world we live in where people would, you know, even think that that was a thing that could happen, that you could pay for a product like this. So anyway, go to my site. Those eggs, of course, were available for sale at her summit. In the day's first lecture, Sadighi spoke for nearly 90 minutes about integrative photosynthesis, spiritual Wi-Fi, and laterality to the body.
Spiritual Wi-Fi, you got a passcode? What's happening here?
Neurovegetative signs and the ontological experience called your life. He spoke on June 4th, 1997, the day Paltrow first reached out, as the most important of his entire life, more so than his marriage or the birth of his two children. He saved every email she ever sent him and spent half an hour walking the audience through a detailed explanation of Paltrow's first blood work, her then recurrent urinary tract infections and ovarian cysts that he said threatened to blow out her back. One of the enduring mysteries of Paltrow's success as a health and wellness guru is her endless stream of medical ailments. Yeah, I'm sick all the time, tell me about it. But you do you not live your raps? Because you said this shit gonna cure me. Sadighi went off on some interesting tangents. What makes water wet, he adds more than once. I nearly got a master's in electric chemistry asking that question. He stated that he still don't know how many birds fly, despite the Wright brothers inventing the airplane by observing birds in flight. Oh, we still don't know how birds fly. I am probably one of the most authentic human beings you ever meet.
We don't know how birds.
That's what he said. He said a pronouncement usually reserved for anyone working on a con. About 50 women most exasperated streamed out during his lecture, and it's not hard to see why. By middle age, most everyone has had an experience with catastrophic illness, and there's no reconciling Siddiqui's nonsense with that. Finally, after plugging his forthcoming book, he wrapped up, "This is not a convention, it's a pilgrimage. We are here to hold the light, the consciousness for a different way of being." Next up was a panel on gut health. Here we were instructed that kale, superfood of the millennium, can be extremely dangerous. That vaginal birth is a new breastfeeding, a delivery system for essential nutrients that will determine your child's fate. That taking one Advil or leave is like swallowing a hand grenade. That cancer does not exist among wild animals. It does, according to the Wildlife Conservation Society, and it similar rates to humans. And that we Americans are not meant to eat nightshades such as tomatoes and potatoes because everyone immigrated from Europe, Africa, or Asia, where there are no nightshades, despite the Irish fleeing the great potato famine. Tomatoes composing the bulk of the Mediterranean diet for centuries, and France and Belgium's ongoing quarrel over which nation 300 years ago invented French fries. Also, we should use frog venom to treat burns, bad luck, and cancer. Next up was a 10-minute facelift with Dr. Julius Few, a room-clearing demonstration in which Few sliced holes in a volunteer's face. After explaining that his patient was under a local anesthetic, he pushed a threaded needle through the volunteer's left cheekbone to her lower jaw, then reversed course while tugging tight. Those who remained groaned and gasped, the doctor was unfazed. "I do think Gwyneth and I are alike in that we think the best things in life are the simplest," he said, dabbing up the wounds. The procedure starts at $3,500 and lasts 2 or 3 years. Few's quick addendum, blindness is a potential side effect. 10-minute facelift, y'all.
Somebody gonna fucking die and sue the shit out of her.
The 10-minute facelift.
Motherfuckers go to school and learn about how a face is structured. Like, my whole job is to reconstruct it.
Meanwhile, Gwyneth Paltrow is on Jimmy Fallon talking about, "There are so many amendments, but if I could just choose one, I plead the fifth. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Anything you say, fifth." Yeah. The event was nearly 4 hours, yet there was no break in sight. Instead, we were subjected to another panel discussion. Paltrow interviewed two of her favorite shrinks, Dr. Phil Stutz and Barry Mitchells, explained that we are all mere pawns in something called the field, which Stutz described as the invisible force that makes things happen that you can't do on your own. The enemy of the field, they claim, is part X, a devil living inside you, a demon. He wants to fuck you up any way he can, but by closing our eyes, visualizing that what we want, and calling on the universe to deliver it, we can have whatever we want. It's a cynical mashup of Freud's personality theory, the Jungian shadow self, the comparative mythology, and the secret, capped off by Stoltz and Mitchell's telling an audience member upset that with her boyfriend to wish their problems away. "But he beats me so hard." Yes, well, just stop believing in that. Mm-mm. Finally, the crowd broke for lunch, with those who paid around $1,000 availing themselves to private workouts. The highest tier lunched with Paltrow and select panelists. The pros were relegated to wandering around a warehouse and converted parking lot for 2 hours. During getting solicited by dream interpreters or standing in endless lines for free blowouts or manicures. Services promptly halted once the panels resumed, no matter that some had spent well over an hour in line. "Sorry," one group staffer told a disgruntled guest, "we can offer you a $20 gift certificate so you can buy half a bottle of water, get you a sip." The 3 o'clock panel was the mother load, described as the exploration of the mother wound and ways to reparent ourselves. Dr. Oscar Saralach, the lone male on the panel, elicited groans when he compared his work on the mother wound to a reporter in a war zone seeing all this carnage around me. Dr. Robin Berman claimed that the word mother is transgender. Dr. Dr. Sherry Sammy, wife of Paltrow's first speaker, hit the crowd's marrow, listing the great stressors of upper class motherhood, preschool interviews, what camps they should go to, what kind of nanny is going to bring the right consciousness into their life. What kind of nanny? Yes, that is a very you guys, I'm sure many of the mothers in our audience have had to deal with, what kind of nanny is going to bring the right consciousness into your child's life? You know how all of you have nannies because you can afford it,
right?
And $40 bottle of water, I'm sorry, cylinders of hydrogen dioxide. Children are here. Sammy continued to teach their mothers how to be a great digestive enzyme to help their children metabolize their experiences while leading the mother towards her divinity. Seems a lot for a toddler, but the crowd loved it. Next was a sex panel featuring therapist author Esther Perel, sexpert Nicole Daydon, and Jenny Connor, showrunner for HBO Girls. Wow, she got everybody in here getting this guap. Mm-hmm. Changing from goop to guap.
Yep.
I get the guap, nigga. I don't know how I got on this panel, Connor said, as she struggled through a painfully earnest discussion of nourishing approach to an orgasm and the value of the body. Connor spoke to the industry-heavy audience about female-centric production crews and the way women work in male-dominated writer rooms. Connor's cohort, Lena Dunham, billed as a star attraction, did not appear. Paltrow offered no explanation or apology, a rude omission for anyone who paid so much in hopes of seeing her. Oh, they combined like white woman Voltron on this bitch.
Right, it was like, hey, only reason why I bought this ticket and she ain't here.
Right, I thought she could come out and tell me some things.
Mm-hmm. She probably knew she wasn't coming when she sold the ticket. She had on that just so y'all come.
Probably the weekend she had to return her dog.
Possibly.
After a short break, Paltrow's trainer and business partner, Tracy Anderson, a controversial figure whose financial practices and approaches to business led in part to a fallout with Madonna, took the stage for a brief, awkward question and answer session. She spoke against cross training, regarded by many physiotherapists as extremely beneficial, boasted that she worked with Microsoft to open her viewers' neural pathways so they connect with her online presence, then rushed off stage. As we rounded 5 o'clock, the final panel took stage.
She hustling the hell out of folks.
Paltrow and her celebrity friends, Cameron Diaz, Nicole Richie, and Miranda Kerr. In the middle sat Tory Burch, the lone true businesswoman, and at times she looked ready to gouge her eyes out. Yes, this was the only panel that transfixed the entire crowd. It was clear that they came, what they came for, the chance to see and hear Paltrow and her peers gush over each other's fabulousness. Marvel at how each of them does it all with no nods to nannies, personal assistants, household staff, managers, and agents, and reinforce the notion that every woman out there, if they only wish hard enough, could buy enough GP-approved product, can be a member of her clique too, an inhabitant of her world, and there's no denying that Gwyneth Paltrow is in her own planet.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me if she had a thing where people actually sell and push her product.
That's what the whole thing is.
Oh.
The whole thing is a big-ass Gwyneth Paltrow product. All this shit I've been mentioning is Gwyneth Paltrow shit.
I mean, like you join, like, almost like Avon. You know, where you join, you go, and then they have, like conferences, and then you go and sell their stuff.
The only reason I don't think we'll get that yet is because that would dilute her brand.
Yeah.
Right now, it's the exclude. Like, you can only get a nigga to pay $40 for a bottle of water if no one's knocking on their door with a $40 bottle of water. You know, they got to feel like this was an experience.
Right.
You know, I went out and I listed her health modalities and I realized that, you know, my wellness centrifuge was a bit elongated. So, you know, we definitely crossed bridge that. So. That only cost me $500 to hear. It's one where those without more pressing concerns can leisurely embark on a journey, face obstacles that help them remake paradigms to create more authentic selves that in turn so generously make the world a better, more healing place. Yet it's one where Paltrow's trademark snobbery and class consciousness, although all attendees were promised post-summit drinks, let's face it, Paltrow's editorial director, Elise Lonen, told Vanity Fair April, everyone's going to need a cocktail at the end of the day. Those who paid just $500 were hurried out of the venue as a voice came over the loudspeaker asking everyone else to join Gwyneth and her friends for a cocktail in the garden. In Paltrow's world, you get what you pay for.
Oh, so you paid $500, you had to leave?
You don't even get a drink, y'all.
Wow! They were like, y'all got the cheap seats.
Right. I paid $500. Yes, but if drinking level started 1,000.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know what you thought was going to happen, but you're welcome to buy a $40 bottle of water on your way out.
Come on.
Good grief. Goop Summit. and they doing another one. That's just a thing that is happening and the world is okay with.
Right.
You know what, guys, it's getting kind of late and I'm sorry, but we're not gonna do Guess the Race. It's already 2.5 hour show. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll do Wine and White People news, and then we'll definitely do Guess the Race. I promise y'all.
Yes, I'm ready for Wine and White People.
I got y'all on that. As always, we do have time for this, though. You would drink some of that water, you'd be okay. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Police say an Albuquerque woman got so frustrated with loud kids outside a motel room that she threatened a 9-year-old boy with a sword.
Well, damn.
White. It allegedly happened Wednesday night at Siegel Suites near Lomas and Eubank. Lisa Von Ruiz reportedly told police she was trying to sleep and got upset about the noise after she allegedly threatened the kid. Police say the child's mother broke into Von Ruiz's room and punched her in the face. She held Von Ruiz till police arrived.
What you ain't gonna do is fuck my baby.
She was charged with assault with a deadly weapon. Her face was bloodied. You threaten a kid with a sword, they mom might come in and punch you in your face. I mean, this is another reason you shouldn't have a sword. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow for Wine and White Folks news and some Guess the Race. And then Wednesday we'll be recapping, of course, Game of Thrones. So until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.